All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from distant lands.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live, 18 stories of a beautiful downtown Chicago in the Skyline Studio, here until 5 a.m., as I am every weekday morning. I am your overnight dude, 1 to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. It's Friday.
Yeah!
So that means all of our regular Friday features will be coming up a little bit later on. We've got You Big Dummy. That's where we read real news stories of real people doing real dumb stuff, and we vote on who's the biggest dummy. Ben, who's in for Tom this morning, will vote. I will vote. And then we'll open up the phone line. First person through will be the deciding vote on who is the biggest dummy of the week. We have Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen to this radio station 24-7, as you should, because it's a great radio station. So you listen 24-7 whenever anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds vaguely dirty and it makes you giggle like a 9-year-old. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same thing with Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen 24-7. And whenever anybody mentions me, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And we also have Fly Jams Friday. That's when we get funky at the end of the show. Start your weekend off with some R&B and some funky stuff and some really cool music. So that's all coming up here on the show. Also coming up, very happy to welcome Daniel Van Kirk to the show. He's a comedian and a podcaster, and I hear a massive fan of this radio show. So he's in town at Zany's in Rosemont. Doing some stuff for the weekend, and he's going to drop by. Big fan of the show, and I'm a big fan of his, so it's going to be fun to have this guy in to talk about all the work that he's done. He's got some great podcasts, and he's a stand-up comedian who's very funny. You can check him out at Zany's, and he'll be here after the 1:30 news. We are also going to talk about some inventions that are completely pointless. And then if we got time, we're going to do some sci-fi films from the 70s that are either really underrated or really overrated. And also, we will definitely get to some gruesome facts about Dawn of the Dead. It is Halloween time, and people are watching a lot of horror movies, and one of the best ones that you can watch, absolutely, without question, is George A. Romero's masterpiece, Dawn of the Dead, one of my favorite movies of all time, and I personally think the best zombie movie ever made. So we've got some facts about Dawn of the Dead that some of you might not know, so we'll get into that and get into our Halloween mood here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text a little bit later on for your Fly Jam requests. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show, but stay connected with us on our Facebook page, which is the best way to do. It's facebook.com/Nick D Show. So that's what's coming up on the show. Friday morning, all the regular cool stuff that we always do on Friday morning and more. And we want to hear from you guys at any time. 312-981-7200. Tom Hush, my producer, is actually out of town. He'll be off also on Sunday night into Monday morning, so he'll be off Monday morning. And filling in for him is Ben Anderson. How you doing, man?
I'm great, Nick.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too.
Yeah. So thank you for filling in. Now you are a plane guy.
Yeah.
Aviator of all kinds.
That I am.
Did you hear about the weather that Tom had to possibly enter?
I pity the fool.
He flew to Albany yesterday. And you know, I remember when Vic was doing the news stories about what was going on the East Coast with this nor'easter. I was really concerned about Tom, and when I saw him, you know, after the show in the morning, I was leaving. I'm like, "Hey, man, Just please travel safely. But it gets pretty rough up there.
It gets really rough.
Yeah.
And hopefully with the timing and everything. So Duffy, who for our listeners is our
Duffy.
Yes,
he's a legend.
Yes, he is the voice.
The voice and the promo guy. He puts all the promos together. He's a great guy. Great guy.
So he's an aviation nut as well. So he and I were in his studio looking at the maps of all the weather that Tom's heading into. So we could see like whether it was going to be really bad for Tom or maybe he might get lucky. And we think he might be lucky.
Okay.
Well,
I think we would have heard from him if something had happened, or at least he would have contacted us in some way, or maybe his flight was canceled. We don't know.
Yeah.
But he's in Albany, New York, for the weekend for a film festival that he's going to cover on his podcast, No Coast Cinema. So he's off, and I thank you, Ben, for filling in.
Anytime.
And what was your DJ name? Was it Obi-Wan?
Yeah, that's
DJ
right.
DJ Obi-Wan, yeah. Right? Because your name's Ben. So you're going to be playing DJ Obi-Wan for Fly Jams Friday. We got all the regular Friday features. You've done those before.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to it.
They're a lot of fun, and we'll get into that. And in the newsroom is Vic Vaughn.
Good morning,
How
sir.
How are you, Vic?
Very well.
Good.
Happy it's Friday. We made it.
It is Friday, and it's been a fun week.
Yeah, it has.
It's been a fun week, and I'm glad to feel better because I was off last Friday.
Yeah.
And I was sick as a dog, and it's still kind of here.
Yeah, and you and I spoke off the air a little while ago, and I can feel the energy coming back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking better, you're sounding
Thanks,
better.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
No, it's taken a while, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and my parents still have a little bug going. I know a lot of people out there. I mean, I guess the flu situation and the virus situation is already pretty bad, and it's only October 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this one knocked me on my butt, man.
There's a lot of people here. Yeah, there's a lot of people here at the station who are dealing with something.
Yeah.
It's like a petri dish in here.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
I know.
So, but anyway, I should have taken last Wednesday and last Thursday off as well. So I don't know if I'm responsible for having some of the germs around here.
I know, it's such a hard decision, isn't it? Because you want to be loyal to your listeners, but you have to also
I don't want to get my coworkers sick or anything like that. You got to be responsible for that. And anybody who doesn't feel well, you should stay home from work. You don't want to get your coworkers sick. So I was off last Friday, Friday morning. And at this time last week, I was laying on my couch, blowing my nose every 32 seconds. So what do you got going this weekend?
I'm, well, I can't say it's a surprise to someone. So,
okay. Well, all right.
But some big surprise coming up this weekend, so I can't wait.
And, good for you. That sounds fun.
And then other than that, I have to teach my son how to balance his checkbook.
Oh, poor boy.
Because we had an unfortunate incident.
Oh, no. Did he get an overdraft notice?
And I stepped out and took the risk of getting him on my checking account. I opened up kind of a child account. And he was doing really well, and then he went into the negative. We're going to have a little
financial talk. Yeah,
a little financial
situation there.
Right.
Oh, boy, that's it. Now, we do have a bear game this week.
Yeah, that's Sunday. So
it's a 3 o'clock start, right?
Yeah, so I will do what I've been doing, which is DVR it, because hopefully by Sunday at 3 o'clock, I'll be hopping into the bed to sleep.
Yeah, to get some sleep for work. Right.
So
we have to sleep sometimes.
Go Bears.
That's exactly right. Well, I hope the surprise goes well, Vic.
Yeah, thanks.
Sounds like it's going to be a fun weekend. By the way, we've got one more Vic's pick to do, because it's the number one album on the list of the Rolling Stone Top 100 albums. We're going to wait for Tom to come back. So we're going to do it next week. Is that cool?
You know how long we've been doing this?
No, how long
have
we been doing it?
We have been doing it on air. This will be, when we do it next week, it'll be 19 weeks.
Wow.
Because I've been taking notes, and I went back and counted. This will be the 19th
week. Well, it's one of my favorite segments, and the listeners love it too, man. We love going on this journey with you. Someone who never really knew anything about music is suddenly educating himself, listening to all this great stuff. And we want to keep it going. Even though you're done with the top 100, we want to find like another group of things for you to listen to so we can talk about it. We want more of Vic's picks because I love the segment.
Thank you very much. I'm grateful to you and your listeners. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, so we'll continue it, but we're not going to do it this week because we want to hear Tom, because we're going to discuss in detail Sgt. Pepper, because that's the number one album of all time on that list. And so we have to find out what you think of it, and then Tom and myself will also discuss it, and we'll have a great time doing it. So we'll bring that segment back next week at 3:30.
Very cool.
Okay, so Vic's in the newsroom. Ben is producing this morning, and I am your host. And like I said, coming up, Daniel Van Kirk, who is a very funny comedian and a podcaster, is going to join us. We talk about completely pointless inventions and Dawn of the Dead, some really fun facts about that great movie Dawn of the Dead. That's all coming up, but we're going to break, and when we come back, I love this stuff, We are going to talk about fictional movie food and drink. So these things do not exist. This is food and drink that do not exist in the real world, but do exist in movies. And some of these are hilarious, and I remember many of them. So it's fictional movie food and drink. Have a little fun with that. Coming up right after we break here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you and get your Fly Jams requests in as well. All right, Friday morning, Nick DiGilio here. Thank you guys for listening. Stay tuned. We're here till 5. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. The very funny Daniel Van Kirk, comedian podcaster, going to be joining us. He's got some gigs this weekend at Zany's in Rosemount. We'll talk about that and more. We're going to talk about some facts about the movie Dawn of the Dead as we hit Halloween. And there you go. But right now... LA Weekly actually put together an article about the fictional movie food and drink. It's funny because, you know, when you see a movie or where they have like fake, they have, fake products that are in movies, they're always memorable. And if you guys want to jump in with some of your favorites, maybe from TV as well, like fake products from TV and fake products from movies, you can jump in here, talk or text at 312-981-7200. So here's what they've got. Perrier from Spaceballs, which, of course, is a takeoff on Perrier. But Perrier, this one sneaked onto this list in this. It is neither eaten or drunk from a Brooksian sci-fi world. That would be Mel Brooks, where air is at a premium. People will occasionally require a fresh can of fine, sparkling French oxygen to get them through the travails of outer space. I totally remember that. Perrier. Oh, Mel Brooks. All right, how about this? Soylent Green from Soylent Green. Fantastic. In the far-flung dystopian future of 2022, wow, we've only got a little more than 2 years before Soylent Green is going to be around. I love that movies that took place in the future are now, you know, in the past. Like this year... 2019, that's when Blade Runner takes place. When Blade Runner came out in 1982, that was a far distant future. And we're not flying around in cars yet. I'm a little disappointed. And I don't have, there are no replicants running around. But Soylent Green is processed food that's rationed to the massively overpopulated human race. That manages to survive. It tastes like frozen Jimmy Dean chocolate chip pancakes and sausage on a stick. It's people. Soylent Green is people. How about this? The old 90s Sixer from The Great Outdoors. I don't remember this because I've only seen The Great Outdoors once. I know a lot of people love that movie. I remember not liking it. But I know, I love John Candy. You know, and Dan Aykroyd can be funny in movies. Yes, there are 96-ounce steaks in the world. Like the one John Candy eats at the restaurant Paul Bunyan. In fact, Brand Steakhouse in Las Vegas has a 120-ounce porterhouse steak, free, of course, if anyone manages to eat it by themselves. But we're pretty sure they don't stand over you with a bloody ape and require you to eat all the fat and gristle, too. But the old 69er.
I love that one.
Do you?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I haven't seen The Great Outdoors. I've only seen it once.
I've always wanted to take that challenge.
Oh, I couldn't.
And after seeing that, I've gone to several steakhouses.
I've seen, you know, they cover this stuff on Food Network. They always have the food contests and stuff. But, you know, and on top of it, not only is it a giant steak, but you got to eat a potato, you got to eat a salad, you got to eat bread, and you have to finish it in a certain, I mean, maybe there are some where you don't have to finish it in a certain amount of time, but all the extra stuff is too much.
Yeah, but if you play by Great Outdoors rules, you have to eat the gristle, too.
Right.
That's the best part.
Yeah. The spaghetti twister from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. It is bad that even a spaghetti tornado makes us hungry for Italian food. And there is a lot of comically oversized food in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. But there's no topping a meatball spinning, carbo-loaded, unnatural disaster like that one. Here's one of my favorites. Absolutely one of my favorites. ink gum from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, where he gives Francis the spearmint or fruit. I've seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure 5,000 times. I love that movie. And the ink gum is hilarious. It says, while there's plenty of trick gum in the world, we've yet to come across any that makes a fountain of dark ink spew out of your mouth. So leave it to Tim Burton and Pee-wee Herman to invent that. Ah, yes. The Big Kahuna Burger from various Quentin Tarantino movies. That's that Hawaiian fast food place? That is a tasty burger. While this may look just like a burger, the Big Kahuna Burger gets bonus points for a few reasons. First, they are a full-fledged Hawaiian food chain existing throughout the Tarantino universe. Second, they have a website with all of its locations and famous fictional towns. Third, Samuel L. Jackson just told you it was a tasty burger, and you can't argue with that. No, you can't. They should open up a real Big Kahuna Burger.
I've been waiting.
Yeah.
You would think somebody would have by now.
Absolutely. How about this? Romulan Ale from various Star Trek movies.
Yeah.
A quick Googling of Star Trek food and drink gets you a daunting amount of material, but Romulan Ale is the clear winner because of its absurdly high alcohol content in bright blue color. We also found out that Romulan Ale is so strong that even Klingons get drunk, which apparently is a really big deal. If you can get a Klingon drunk, there's something right there. Yeah, Romulan Ale. An independent beer company or a brewer released stuff called Romulan Ale, if I'm not mistaken, as a limited thing. All right, how about this? Cup of pizza from The Jerk. Cup of pizza is a ridiculous concept, of course, and another great joke from one of the greatest comedies of all time. But what's more ridiculous than not only can you buy Cup of Pizza merchandise, but that somebody even bothered to figure out how to make the real thing. So,
hey, Nick, just to confirm your thoughts.
Yeah.
Romulan Ale is made by Cerveceria La Constancia.
Ah.
It's an American adjunct lager.
Okay. All right. Not a drinking man anymore, but I wonder how that tastes.
Yeah.
How about this? Dehydrated pizza from Back to the Future Part 2. There's a lot of stuff in Back to the Future Part 2 that's crazy. In the future, according to Robert Zemeckis, Pizza Hut will start making tiny dehydrated pizzas, which spring to life after a few mere moments spent in the Black & Decker rehydrator. Unfortunately, that Pizza Hut crust still looks as mediocre as ever. The old dehydrated pizza from Back to the Future Part 2. And then the last one here is Snozberry wallpaper from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Well, there's a million things in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory that you could talk about.
Oh, yeah.
So many products and candy that doesn't exist. Without question, your best source for fantastical movie eats comes from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Between the everlasting gobstoppers, soda pop that makes you fly, and a chocolate river, there were a lot of options here, but really any of them would have done wonderfully, but it's difficult not to be a fan of Snozberry wallpaper. The Snozberries, after all, do taste like Snozberries.
I always wanted the exploding candy.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that, they drink the pop and then they got a burp to get down. So I'm one of the few people on the planet. I love Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I really do. But I think I'm the only person on the planet that prefers the Tim Burton version with Johnny Depp, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And I think it's because it's a lot more faithful to the book.
I agree with you.
Don't like the songs in Willy Wonka. Like, I can't stand Candyman. So, pure imagination is okay, but I don't know. So there's no stupid songs in the Charlie and Chocolate Factory. It's much closer to Roald Dahl's vision. And I love Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. People think I'm nuts. I realize that. It's a very unpopular opinion. But I am not taking away the emotional attachment everybody, especially my age, has with Willy Wonka. You know, I'm 54 years old. I was a kid when that movie came out. And so, yeah. So there you go. Some fictional food from movies. All right, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up. And then after the news, comedian and podcaster Daniel Van Kirk is going to join us live in studio. And we'll have a fun chat with him. That's all coming up right here on WGN. right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago on a Friday morning. That means all the regular Friday features are coming up straight out of context, you big dummy. Fly Jams Friday and Nick D Show Spies, all coming up right here on WGN. But right now I want to welcome to the show stand-up comedian, podcaster, who happens to be a big fan of my show, which is crazy. Daniel Van Kirk. Daniel, how are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me on. No, I just want to yell, hey, big guy, to you.
Oh, man, you go back.
Hey, I'll go back to Larry from Aurora.
Larry from the late, great Larry from Aurora.
Yeah.
One of the most entertaining callers.
I was so sad when he passed
away. Yeah. If you're a longtime listener to the show, you know Larry from Aurora was this really unique guy who listened to the show.
So many stories.
Insane. Pro wrestler at one point. Mm-hmm. And he used to call up and go, hey, big guy. That was what he would say every time we would put him on the air. And it was always great. I had an event that I hosted at a Bruin View, at the Bruin View one time, and Larry came out. He got a bigger line and a set of applause than I did. Because Larry came out, it was like, Larry from Aurora is here, and everybody went nuts.
I'm surprised he didn't sell merch. I figured he would have it.
Yeah, yeah, but no, he was a great guy. But you go way back. So you've been listening to my show that long?
Yeah, man, way, way back. I remember when they were moving you around, and then you know, after Steve and Johnny, there was that window when you didn't have this yet. And I was like, give Nick as much time on the air as
you
can.
Oh, man, that's nice, man.
And it used to be back in the day before it was true uncut like it is right now, and Tom Hush crushes it, that like sometimes the podcasts would just be a couple quick segments. Like you'd maybe get like 10-15 minutes, and somebody like me living out on the West Coast is like, I gotta get more than this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been a fan for a big time.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah. How'd you find the show?
Just living in Northern Illinois, born and raised in Rochelle, listening to GN my entire life. We have a little shack of a cottage. Don't ever say lake house. It is a shack. but Wisconsin, on the way back, my mom or grandma would listen to WGN. In high school, on my lunch break, I would listen to Paul Harvey do the news. So I stood out in front of the old Showplace Studios and waved at John Williams. Yeah. So, yeah, no,
cool,
I love
it. That's great. Yeah, it's great. There's a lot of great history to this place.
Dude, when you and Gary Lee Wright used to do the, like, the hour of craziness.
Yeah.
When I think it was when Gary or somebody would leave and they'd drive past Berlin.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Just tell us what's happening.
That was driving home with Gary because Gary would leave an hour earlier on Friday night.
Yeah.
And so we did from 1 to 1:30. We would have Gary in the car reporting what's going on on his drive home, and he would pass Berlin and other bars and stuff. It's Friday night, like 2 in the morning, you know, 1 in the morning. So,
and this time of year is some of the best to listen to you with the Count Fartula
and Fartenstein.
And the last week we were going through the tracks of just man screaming.
Yeah, these scary sound effects CD purchased by Gary Lee Wright.
What I love most about you is you are always on brand. Horror shirt, Cubs hat. I've called into this show.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, I called in like in 2004 or 5 after a disappointing Cubs year.
Oh,
it was like February. Can't remember what I called in for, but at the end I just said, go Cubs. And you're like, you believe this guy? I was on Lakeshore Drive. I called in once to ask how to clean a George Foreman grill and talk to you. I called in the night that Pedro Martinez threw Don Zimmer by the head.
You called in that night?
I called in that night. I was on hold for like 25 minutes standing in a kitchen up in Andersonville.
Yeah.
And you guys ended up moving on to another segment.
Oh,
so I didn't even get on. Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. But, I really appreciate that, man. That's really cool.
Oh, thank
you. Listen, let's talk about you, man. You are a comedian and a podcaster. When did you get into comedy?
I started at briefly at the UCB Theater out in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and then I moved back here to Chicago in 2010, and just through the beauty of Craigslist, some good things do happen on there. I got a job as a night host at Second City, and that place saved my life. I know you took classes there.
I did.
And I was making nachos and taking people to their seats and never feeling, as you should when you're there, that you don't get to be on the main stage.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got to earn it.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time in the seats watching some of the best comedy in the country, and then I ended up going back out to L.A., got into the UCB theater community out there that, for people who don't know, is founded by Amy Poehler, Matt Walsh, Matt Besser, Ian Roberts, all great Chicago people. And I went through that and then got a couple podcasts. I do one with the Sklar brothers called Dumb People Town.
Yeah.
And one with a great comic by the name of Rory Scovel called Pen Pals.
He's funny, man.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
Yeah.
And you know, people just write us letters and we read them. It's not even just advice. You can write us a letter about anything. We always say, it's your podcast. We just talk about it.
Yeah.
And I just kind of kept going. And then stand up, like about 6 years ago, I finally got up, the courage to give it a shot and go for it. And And I've just been doing it ever since. And I love performing here and getting to come back to Chicago.
Well, you're at Zany's in Rosemont.
Yeah.
So tonight, 8 o'clock, 10:30 show. Saturday, 7 and 9:30.
Yep.
Zany's. Well, first of all, you know the Zany's on Wells is legendary, obviously, and it's a great room. I've actually worked that room.
Yeah.
But Rosemont is fantastic.
It's such a great room. They figured it out. The ceiling's just low enough. The people are around the stage. The stage is small enough, which some people think, like, you don't want it too big.
Yeah.
Small enough, and you can still be, like, they're right on top of each other and right there.
Yeah.
It's just... It's Conan O'Brien says that comedy's supposed to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You want people, like, you know, at Second City too, it's so tightly packed.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it's supposed to be.
Oh,
so.
They sit people on top of each other. Man.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I know.
And it's also like that at Zany's.
Yes.
On Wells, because you basically, when you're up on that stage, there's a possibility that you're going to kick over somebody's drink.
100%.
Because it's right
there. Which is kind of, comedy's supposed to, is great in places where it feels like we shouldn't be doing this here.
Yeah.
Like, you look at, like, the Cellar, you go downstairs. Comedy on State up in Madison, one of the best clubs in the country, you go downstairs. It's supposed to be at places where you're like, do we have the right zoning
the
for
other
this?
The other thing about the room on Wells is that, like, the first, like, 10 tables are lit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see them. They're right there,
and
man.
I love that, too.
You can interact with them and stuff. So, you started doing the stand up. Mm-hmm. Now you played at Second City. Did you do improv then?
You know, all I did was soak up as much as I could. Talk to some people who came out of there. Like Tim Baltz was there when I was there. Who's now on Righteous Gemstones.
Which is
a show I love. Brendan Jennings is another great guy. Brad Morris is a great guy who came out of there. And so I soaked all that up, and then somehow a couple months in, I just weaseled my way into hosting this weekly improv show that also did, like, short films.
Okay.
And so they would showcase, you had a week to, like, make a short film, and then they would improv based off of that. And so I hosted that, and I did that every week right up until I went back to L.A. And I went back to L.A. the week after Thunder Snow happened on Lakeshore Drive.
God.
It was very easy to leave.
Yeah.
Remember that night? That
I
was
do.
Insane.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll kind of never forget that night. It was nuts. Like, our one of the news guys here, Roger Badish.
Yeah.
You probably know the story.
I don't.
Oh, no. Everybody on the radio or on television was saying, avoid Lakeshore Drive. Do not drive on Lakeshore Drive. Roger drove on Lakeshore Drive and had to abandon his car.
He had to.
Yeah. He was stuck on Lakeshore Drive.
Most people got stuck in by the harbors.
Yeah.
So there was nowhere to walk. That bus, like just jackknifed at the Belmont exit.
Yeah.
And I think from 3 to 6, like 15 inches fell.
It was insane.
Yeah.
It was completely insane. I was stuck. And I was at a bar when I was drinking, man.
Yeah.
I was at Ricochet's, this bar in Lincoln Square, and it just started coming down, and I couldn't get home. So I crashed at my buddy's house who lived on above the Davis Theater right down the street.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I ended up crashing there and then walking, because I couldn't get to the L station.
And the most Chicago thing, they were like, wherever you're parked, leave it for 2 days. We don't care. I walked up. I was working in River North at the time, and I was on, like, Irving Park and Greenlee, or Greenview, and I walked up Irving Park at 10 a.m. the next day and didn't see a single person or moving car.
Yeah,
I felt
crazy.
Like, I'm like, oh, I'm in The Walking Dead, which was just the comic books back then. But
it was crazy. So, all right, so that was a big night for you.
For sure.
And then before we break here, what was your first gig like? When your first stand-up gig, where was it and how did it feel?
I got very lucky. Probably close to the very first one I did was featuring for the Sklar Brothers at Comedy on State. So room was so warm.
Yeah.
And I can do a couple impressions. I do a pretty good Steven Seagal, and one of the other things I'll brag about, I do a very good Mark Wahlberg.
We're going to hear that at some point.
Yeah. And so I knew right away, I was like, all right, I have 10 minutes right there.
Yeah.
And then I'd been doing enough UCB and my time at Second City. I was like, I know how to, like, work with a crowd. And if I can't talk about Tommy Bartlett's Robot World or anything in the Dells for 10 other minutes, then I failed. So I just talked about flea markets, which I still do.
Yeah.
The House on the Rock.
Oh,
And then some other, you know, and it was like shooting
and
cheese.
It turned out great.
It did.
Very cool. Okay. Yeah. Well, Daniel Van Kirk is here. We're going to talk about your comedy and your podcasts and all that cool stuff. You can check them out at Zany's in Rosemont this weekend, Friday, 8 o'clock. And 10:30, Saturday 7 and 9:30, and you can check out zanies.com for more info. Hang on, okay?
You got it.
All right, Daniel Van Kirk is here, and we'll talk more with him right after we take a break here on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago on Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. We're also going to give you some facts. It's Halloween time. It's my favorite time of year. And I just recently read a piece in Mental Floss about unbelievable pieces of trivia about Dawn of the Dead, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. But right now, live in studio, comedian podcaster Daniel Van Kirk is here. Welcome back, man.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's great to have you here. So tell me about, because, you know, we do this segment on Friday morning. You're a regular listener to the show. We do a segment called You Big Dummy, which we read real news stories of dumb people doing really dumb stuff.
Yes.
We will do it a little bit later on. But you've got this podcast that you do with the Sklar brothers, who, by the way, are hilarious.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, they're great.
They're great. It's called Dumb People Town.
I know. There's a definite Venn diagram of the stories we've covered and the stories you have covered. Oh, my God. You recently were breaking down the... we didn't do it, but the camel at the gas station and the woman... She sat on the camel and then she had to bite it. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, there's a... And that's one of the things I love about your show, is because Dumb People Town, it's not... We're not mean.
Yeah.
We're not looking to make fun of anybody.
Yeah.
But we will... in all caps, ask why.
Yeah.
Why? What was this person thinking that they were like, here's what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
And so we get three news stories that were dumb news stories that were sent in by the listeners. And then we just break them down with a great celebrity guest. We've had John C. Reilly, Zach Galifianakis, Karen Kilgariff from the My Favorite Murder podcast, Tiffany Haddish, Kumail Nanjiani, like so many great people
that are
in LA. And either I know them or the Sklars have known them for a long time. And we just goof around, much like you guys do when you read a story and you're like, this happened for no other reason than the person was dumb.
Yeah, we've got some good ones for this morning I'm going to get to. We do five a week and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy.
That's
pretty cool. So Dumb People Town, people can check that out.
Yep.
And then what's the other one that you do?
Pen Pals with Rory Scovel and myself.
Yeah.
Just goofing around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, we both wanted to do a podcast, but we're both very busy. So we're like, what's one of the easiest things? We're like, well, they could write us letters, so we're not even creating content.
Yeah.
And then we just read them and, you know, have our take of what the threshold for execution was very low,
which is
what you want. You know, so many of us comedians and entertainment people are like, what is achievable? What can we actually do?
Right.
Yeah. So it's a really fun show, and those are both available wherever you get your podcasts. Dumb People Town drops on Tuesdays and Wednesdays for Pen Pals.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Now, what are some of your favorite places? You travel around doing stand-up. What are some of your favorite places?
You know, we were talking about the Andrew Youngblood, who's my feature act and a great buddy of mine. We were just talking about this today, like great places that we've been. Madison is wonderful. Chicago, a lot of times when I'm here, if I'm in the city, I'll be performing at North Bar up on North and Ashland. Great guy named Jim Weber runs that, and there's a lot of comedy shows up there.
Yeah.
I love playing there. I had a really great time in Kansas City. They have a venue there that was really fun. New Orleans was great. We got to go in, I think it was Baton Rouge. I went on a Cajun food tour.
Whoa.
So I looked it up and it was like $50, but I'm like, hey, still nothing ventured, nothing gained. Get done with the show and there's a guy there who's like, hey, I work for the Cajun food tour. And I'm like, I wanted to go. We were talking about going tomorrow. Andrew and I were into it. And he goes, yeah, we're off. We didn't get a money reservations, but if you want, I'll just take you around give you the tour. So I got like a personal, I ate so much boudin and etouffee, and it was phenomenal.
Oh,
so,
that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
stuff cool. like that is when you're just like, I was in Orlando and somebody's parents gave me hopper passes to go to every park.
Wow.
So, yeah, we had it like, and then the same thing for Universal. And so we got to do that. Yeah, it's
so you have fun on the road then.
Yeah, I try to. I want to like experience, you know, as much of the city as I can when I'm there. And take the effort to do that as well. So,
Yeah. We can check you out at Zanies in Rosemont one more time tonight, 8:00 and 10:30, and then Saturday, 7:00 and 9:30. You mentioned that you can do a Mark Wahlberg. How did that come about? Where did that
Second
impression?
City. Just goofing around. There's a great manager there by the name of Heather Winna, who's married to Steve Albini. And, I was like goofing around with her one time, just talking like, she's like, you need to keep doing that. And then the Sklars used to have a podcast I wasn't on with them. They heard me do it and like, how can we drop that in? And then the AV Club loved that part of the show, and it kind of became its own thing. I've done it with Doug Benson on the road a lot.
Yeah.
I don't do it too much
Doug
anymore.
Doug Benson, was he blowing weed at the time?
Was he breathing? So I don't do it much anymore. I used to perform like as sketches, like in the wig and all that stuff.
Oh, really?
It was fun. Yeah. And basically, I always tell people, I'm like, the Mark Wahlberg character is, you have to yell and whisper at the same time. He is, he feels that you are lucky he's here, and whatever it is, even if it's not competitive, he's winning. So it's just like,
That's all it is.
Yeah. It's
well,
just
let's
like,
get, let's right, hear,
my
let's
voice is a little dry, but I'm going to give it to you.
Let's give a little Mark Wahlberg, everybody.
What's up, Nick? How you doing? You doing good?
I'm good, man.
That's great. Dude, it's so great for you to have me here. Did you see The Fighter? 9 years I spent trying to make that movie, but they get everybody else an Oscar, but not me. I didn't even know we were shooting The Departed. That's how I react in normal life. I get nominated for that. Fear. Fear's a great movie. Renaissance Man. Where were the nominations for this?
That's killer. But
I mean, you were talking about best opening movies. I know you said Boogie Nights a few nights ago.
I did, yeah.
I was so good in that movie. Yeah. I was the best.
That's great, man.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
That's great, man. Did you, I'm assuming you've seen Andy Samberg do the Mark Wahlberg's talk to
hello.
Animals
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Say
hello to your mother for me. How you doing? You doing good? Let me talk to you for a second. Hey, I don't know if you guys are hiring, but Donnie needs anything you'll take right now.
They just opened a Wahlburgers right down the street.
Right, we did, dude.
Yeah.
I don't even know what we sell. My brother Paul just wants to cook things, and I want to make money. That's all I need to know. You care if I get some push-ups in real quick? Do you know Pain and Gain's a documentary?
Oh, it is?
That's what I thought. Uh-oh. Lone Survivor, we use real bullets.
What about The Happening? So what?
I wanted to not play a cop for once in my career, and I get ruined for it? What's wrong with talking to plants? They never interrupt you.
That's great, man.
Oh,
that's like, that is killer. That's
Thank
really
you.
Cool. Where does your material come from for your stand-up? Do you write a lot?
Yeah, so I've just put together this hour, and my first album drops next month, November 15th. Pre-sale goes on October 25th. Anybody can go to Daniel Van Kirk if they want for that. It's called Thanks Diane, which is my mom's name, and there's a bit in the show where I say Thanks Diane quite a few times. So a lot of it comes from my family, growing up in Rochelle, Illinois.
You got a big family?
Yeah. We just... This coming June, so what's that, 6, 7, 8 months from now, will be the 77th annual family reunion.
Oh, my God.
So in 1943, while the world was at war, the Van Kirks and McCaslins were like, hey, do you want to get together the second Sunday in June forever?
Wow.
And so, yeah, and it's classic. I mean, egg toss, water balloon toss, hula hoop contest.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it's a big family. A lot of people are still around there. My mom, my two brothers, and my cousins, Aunt Connie and Uncle Ken, they show up in the stand-up hour as well. So a lot of it comes from my family. Definitely, I tell a story about being at Monk's Pub here in the Loop where a Chicago god walked in one day and was like, where do I sit? Somebody give me a sit. I need a seat right now. And I was like, I got you, sit here as long as I can get to know you. So a lot of Chicago comes into it. And as I mentioned, my love of Wisconsin and flea markets shows up as well.
How did that start?
Which part?
The flea market stuff.
I mean, we grew up every summer going to the Princeton flea market in Princeton, Wisconsin. And that's real. Those are real. I always say a real flea market is supposed to be full of things that make you uncomfortable that it's being sold. Like three women who don't speak to each other trying to sell the same quilt. That is like knives with no handles. You're like, what are you? Who's this for? And so I moved out to LA and they have flea markets there too. And I was so excited. But then there's a cover charge to get in, which is the most LA thing. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't pay a cover charge to look at piles.
Yeah.
That's not how this works.
Cover charge?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've gone to the ones that they used to, well, we don't have drive-ins anymore, but when they used to have drive-in theaters, on Sundays, all drive-in theaters would be flea market.
Yep.
Yeah. Like the Twin driving out in Wheeling.
They all had them. I was hoping in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, they would go back to Brad Pitt's house and you would just see a flea market happening.
That's great, man. So you're next. Where you go after Rosemont?
We'll wrap up Rosemont Saturday night. Hopefully a lot of people can make it out. And then I'll go on Sunday and every day in a row after there, I'll go Detroit and then Rochester, then Boston, then Albany, then New York, and then back this way to Cleveland, and then I'll fly out of here. And then I'm doing the Come and Take It Comedy Festival in Houston, if anybody's down and around that area, on like the 7th, 8th, and 9th of November.
Yeah.
And then on the 11th of November, I go to Nashville, Louisville, Cincinnati, and then on the 14th, I'm in Milwaukee, and then on the 15th, I'm actually closing out the tour. By that time, we will have done like 47 cities over the course of a year. We kind of broke it up, in between legs and stuff. But on the 15th of November, I will end the Together tour, which is what I call it, in Rochelle, Illinois, in my hometown.
Oh, your hometown.
And which is also the day the album drops. Yeah.
Wow, so, that's nice, man.
Yeah, I wanted my grandma to be able to see my hour. Yeah. She's about to be 90.
Oh,
and,
good for her.
Yeah, 13 when the family reunion started. And, I wanted her to be able to see it. So the proceeds from ticket sales are going to go to the Rochelle Hub City Senior Center and just put on a show
that's
to
great,
close
man.
It out.
Yeah. That's really great. And people can follow you on your website, danielvankirk.com.
Yes, sir.
danielvankirk.com, and you listen to your podcast and check you out live. You got four more times this week to check them out. So you got them tonight, 8 o'clock and 10:30, and Saturday, 7 o'clock and 9:30 at Zany's in Rosemont. And there you go. And thank you so much, man, for the kind words and listening
to
the show.
I love you. You've been doing it for so long, and you're just one of my favorite things on air. People always ask me, what podcast do you listen to? And I'll listen to Conan's every once in a while, or WTF with Mark Maron. But
But every single day, Andrew can attest on the road that I listened to last night's Nick DiGiulio.
I appreciate that,
podcast.
Man. That's really kind of you.
Yeah.
Man.
If you ever have an open door or you need to fill time, you let me know.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Absolutely. Excuse me. Daniel Van Kirk, everybody, check him out in Rosemount at Zany's. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll take a break and be back with the news after this on WGN. Right. Welcome back, everybody. How are we doing this morning? It's Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN live, 18 stories of a beautiful downtown Chicago in the Skyline studio here on 720 WGN. Friday morning, that means all the regular Friday features will be coming up. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday. So get your funky requests going. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about some completely pointless inventions and before we get to our regular features. But it's Halloween time, and this is my favorite time of year. October is my favorite month. Autumn is my favorite season. And I love, as anybody regularly listens to this show or has known me for years, I love Halloween. It's my favorite. And it's great because, like, for the entire month, so many cable channels are just showing horror movies nonstop. And, you know, you get horror film festivals and all kinds of really cool stuff that happen. So there's a lot of attention paid to the genre of horror, which is my favorite genre of all time. And I've been a horror movie fanatic my entire life. Ever since I was a little kid, and I love the genre, always have, and I've been watching some, you know, like this weekend I'm going to be watching a few horror movies over the weekend just to bone up and get into the mood. And there are so many great ones out there that you can watch this time of year or year round. But one of the greatest is Dawn of the Dead, one of the greatest horror movies ever made, without question the best zombie movie ever made, and an incredible movie. So, have you seen Dawn of the Dead?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And I did not hate the remake. I thought I would, but I thought the remake was pretty good. And despite the fact that the zombies are fast, I'm not a big proponent of fast zombies. I like my zombies slow. But I thought the remake was good. It was one of those movies that I went in with, you know, really low expectations. Like, how dare you? Who do you think you are remaking Dawn of the Dead? And then it turned out pretty good. And the same thing happened last year when they released the remake of Suspiria. And Suspiria is one of my favorite movies of all time. I think the scariest movie I've ever seen. And it is truly a masterpiece. And when I heard that they were remaking Suspiria, I was like, you got to be out of your mind. And I was very, very negative and very, very angry about it until I saw it. And then I love the remake of Suspiria. It's a completely different movie and it's a completely different take. And I think it's great.
Yeah, it blew me away.
Yeah,
I was a real big fan of the original.
Yeah,
and
it's a completely different movie.
Yeah.
I mean, the plot's the same. American girl goes to Germany to study dance, and the school is run by witches. Okay, that's it. And then the rest of the movies are completely different. And first of all, the remake is 2.5 hours long. It's over 2.5 hours long. And you know, the original is like 90 minutes. So when I saw the running time of the remake, I'm like, what are you doing? And then when I saw the movie, I realized it was a completely different kind of a take on it. And I thought all the performances were great. I thought Tilda Swinton was having a blast playing three different roles, including an old male professor, psychiatrist, which I thought was great. And I happen to be a really big fan of Dakota Johnson. I think she's great. I think people underrate how talented she is just because she was in those stupid 50 Grey Shades of Grey movies.
Yeah.
But I think she's really, really talented, and I like her in everything that she does. I think she's terrific in Suspiria. So, but anyway, Dawn of the Dead, the original Dawn of the Dead. Here's the story on how I first saw Dawn of the Dead. Because when Dawn of the Dead came out in 1979, came out in May of 1979. And it was out in theaters at the same time Phantasm was. It was a good year for horror. It was a good year for horror. Alien came out that year. That summer was a good summer for horror movies. But when Dawn of the Dead came out, because of the violence in the movie and the gore, When it was submitted to the MPAA, it got an X. They slapped it with an X. That was, this was before NC-17. NC-17 didn't come into the mix until, I think, 90? 89 or 90? The first NC-17 movie was, geez, what was the first? I'm trying to remember. It was the movie about with Fred Ward. Fred Ward and Uma Thurman. Anyway, I can't remember what the actual title was. But anyway, so it got slapped with an X rating. And back in that day, in those days, the rating of X was associated with porn. Like if you saw a movie that had a rating of X on it, you immediately thought it was pornography. You immediately thought that it was, but there's no sex or nudity at all in Dawn of the Dead. It's all gore. It's the blood and the eating of the flesh and all the stuff. And it's a very bloody, very gory movie. And that's how it received the X. So George Romero, who made the movie, obviously, who was one of the greatest filmmakers of all time. So Romero didn't want to have the stigma of an X rating on the movie. So he chose to release it unrated. And one of the reasons why it's difficult to at that time to release a movie that's unrated is that sometimes you can't get advertising unless you have like the rating. And if you have an X rating, a lot of newspapers and television channels would not advertise your movie. So he chose to go unrated, but it said there was no rating on it, but it said no one under 18 will be admitted. And not even with a parent. It wasn't like an R rating. It was no one under 18 could be admitted. So when Dawn of the Dead came out, I was 14. So I was, a few years away from being able to see it. So this is what happened. So, I don't know if you know this, Ben, but my dad took me to a movie every Sunday.
Yeah, lots of movies.
Every Sunday morning, my dad and I would go down to the Loop, to the Grindhouses, and see at least two movies every Sunday morning. And that's how my whole obsession with movies, I mean, he knew I loved movies, but that's how my whole obsession with movies really began. And my parents took me to a lot, but my dad especially in the Sunday mornings. And my dad knew how much I loved horror movies. I mean, at that point I was 14 and I had nothing in my bedroom. There was nothing but horror stuff everywhere, like on the walls, everywhere. And so my dad knew how much I wanted to see this movie and knew how much I loved Night of the Living Dead and loved horror, but I couldn't get in, like even with him, because it wasn't rated R, I couldn't get in. So my best friend at the time, and I've mentioned this a bunch of times, my best friend when I was growing up was a guy named Dan Long. The Dan Long that works who's here this morning, but my best friend when I was a kid, just coincidentally, was named Dan Long. And so he was also like a big fan of horror movies. So in order to make sure that we got to see this movie that we were not allowed to see, we went to the Twin Drive-In. It was called the Twin Drive-In, but there were three screens. I don't know why it was called the Twin Drive-In, but there were three screens. I guess when they named it, there were only two, and then they built a third one and didn't bother to change the name of the drive-in.
Okay.
So it was in Wheeling, and it was really it was a ridiculous spot for a drive-in because the Palwaukee Airport is right next to it.
I believe I saw Ghostbusters at that theater.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Yeah. But putting a drive-in next to an airport, like, you got to wait for the planes to go by in order to hear, So anyway, my dad's like, okay, we'll go to the Twin Drive-In, okay? And it was playing on, Dawn of the Dead was playing with Phantasm. It was a double bill with Phantasm on one of the screens. So we go, it's playing on screen two. So my friend Dan and I are in the back seat. My parents are in the front seat. My dad driving. And we pay to see a different movie. I can't remember what it was. But it was on screen three. So what my dad did was, we go into screen three. My dad pulls the car all the way back to, the fence, as far back as you could possibly get. And at that time, that's when they started doing the radio frequency. Like, if you put on your AM radio, that's when you pick up the sound of the movie.
Yeah.
They didn't have the speakers, the old school speakers anymore. They were fading those out.
Okay.
So my dad tunes the radio to the frequency for screen two. So we're hearing the frequency from screen two, and Dan and I turned around and watched out the back window, and that's how I saw Dawn of the Dead.
Oh,
so
that's great.
My dad was determined that I see it. So he pulled the car. My parents watched the movie. They sat outside and watched the movie, whatever the movie was that we were actually paid to see. And Dan and I watched Dawn of the Dead. So that's how I got to see it. Underage at a drive-in, my dad making sure I got to see Dawn of the Dead. It's a great memory. It's one of my favorite memories. It was like my dad was like, "No, you're going to see Dawn of the Dead. There's no way that you're not going to see it." So,
by the way, I have your answer.
Yeah.
First NC-17 rating was given to Henry and June.
Henry and June, about Henry Miller.
Yep.
Yeah. That was the one. That was the first NC-17. Philip Kaufman directed that.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Ward, Uma Thurman. Now, it wasn't a very good movie. But if you're making a movie about Henry Miller, it's clearly not going to be rated G.
Yeah.
So that's not what's going to happen. So anyway, that was my first encounter seeing Dawn of the Dead. And then, you know, as time went by, this whole you got to be 18 to see it thing kind of laxed. And I remember seeing it at the Davis. They just let me in. And I was like 15 or something. So I went to see it at the Davis. And then they started doing midnight shows of it. And I would just go in. So I saw it plenty of times in the theater, you know, without being 18. And then obviously, you know, on home video, I've seen it like 1,000 times. Uh-huh. And you know, the DVD and all of it. And it's just become such a perennial, you know, favorite. And it's also, it's without question the best zombie movie ever made. And it's a really brilliant satire. Like, it's very funny. And it really is pointed and says a lot about materialism and Americana and, you know, setting it in a mall was genius. Mm-hmm. And malls were just sort of, you know, it was 1978 when he shot this movie, 77, 78. And so malls were around, but they weren't, there wasn't a mall culture yet. It wasn't like a destination place for teenagers to go to. Yeah. It was just these weird places in the suburbs that had a lot of stores in them that probably weren't very good stores. And so he was on the cutting edge of that. Like Romero, and Romero was always ahead of time. Always ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Always ahead of his time with what he was saying about society. And I mentioned this one last night on the show. Diary of the Dead, which is a film that he made in 2008. If you watch it now, despite the fact that all of the social media stuff in it is sifted through MySpace, because MySpace was the thing back then. So we didn't know that Facebook was going to usurp it and Instagram and all these other things. But the movie says so much about, you know, our 24-hour news cycle and social media. And this was in 2008. The movie came out in February of 2008, Diary of the Dead. And it is prescient, and it is as timely now as anything that's out there. And that's the way Romero thought. He was a satirist of, like, incredible proportion. So not only did he make, it wasn't just gore for gore's sake. His movies were smart, and they said something.
Yeah.
But they were also awesome and gory.
So, I've got a question for you. So,
yeah.
my favorite scene, needless to say, is the helicopter scene.
Yeah.
But what is your favorite scene?
In Dawn?
Yeah.
All right, let me break, and we'll think, and I'll think about it, because there are so many. But, I mean, the helicopter thing is classic. Guy getting the top of his head chopped off with the helicopter is fantastic.
Yeah.
Great makeup effects by Savini, Tom Savini, the groundbreaking stuff. All right, let's take a break, and we talk more here. If you've you got any Dawn of the Dead stuff that you want to talk about, when was your first time seeing Dawn of the Dead? What do you think of it? Is it one of your favorite movies and zombie movies? When we come back, we've got all kinds of really fun facts about Dawn of the Dead and the making of Dawn of the Dead. Some fun stuff. So 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And we'll be back with more right after this. All right. Welcome back. How's everybody doing this morning? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the WGN Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. We will not be doing a VIX Picks this week. We will conclude with this version of VIX Picks next Friday when Tom comes back, and we discuss VIX reaction to the number one album of all time, according to Rolling Stone, as we continue the journey of VIX Picks. But the other regular features will begin at 4 o'clock. With You Big Dummy, Straight Outta Context, Nick D Show Spies, and then we'll sail into Fly Jams Friday. And Ben is in, and he is DJ Obi-Wan.
That I am.
Or DJ Kenobi?
DJ Obi-Wan. What the texters
okay, decided. DJ, because his name is Ben. So he's DJ Obi-Wan filling in for Luscious Hushes.
And
so there
I was kind of laughing with Vic before the show, and I brought up, you know, since there's this week off for the Vic's Picks.
Yeah.
I was like, this is kind of like the Super Bowl of VIX Picks. You know, they take that bye week.
Yeah, it's a bye week.
Before the big game.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll get back to VIX Picks next week. And then Vic is going to continue a journey finding more music to talk about. And we're going to continue VIX Picks because I love that segment. It's always fun to talk with Vic and see how his progression goes. And so we'll continue doing that. And We'll continue that next week. But all of our regular features will be coming up. All right. It is Halloween time, so we love talking about scary stuff and Halloween movies and scary movies and stuff. One of the greatest ever made, as we've just talked about, is George A. Romero's Dawn of the Dead. Now, you asked me before my favorite scene in the movie. I have to say, to me, the most terrifying stuff in that movie is in the first 10 minutes, is the SWAT team in the projects and on the roof. That is terrifying. Uh-huh. That just sets the tone for, and it's really scary stuff. The rest of the movie has some nice scary moments, but mostly it becomes more satirical as the movie goes along. It's also a really quiet movie. There are stretches when really nothing happens after after they secure the mall and they get sick and tired of all the material stuff that they've got access to. It becomes very contemplative and quiet. Mm-hmm. A lot of people forget that. But I got to say that those sequences. But my favorite kill is the screwdriver in the ear. That's my favorite kill, screwdriver in the ear.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's a great movie. So if you guys want to jump in here, we're talking Dawn of the Dead, zombie stuff, 312-981-7200.
And yeah, we got a text from 773 area code who said that he loves Dawn of the Dead. It's his favorite as well. And his favorite scene is the motorcycle gang member getting killed while taking his blood pressure.
Oh, yeah, he gets his ripped. They rip his arm off.
Yeah.
And his blood and his arm is still in the blood pressure machine.
Yep.
Yeah, that's classic. That's pretty classic. Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about some of these facts that we've got here. Mental Floss, which is just such a fun magazine and a terrific website. They put together lists and facts and things like that. And I just love reading Mental Floss. It's so good. They put together some facts about Dawn of the Dead that we might not know. And it's a classic movie, and it's great to see and watch this time of year. So here's what they do for the intro. It says, in the late 60s, George A. Romero changed horror cinema forever with Night of the Living Dead, an instant classic that defined zombie storytelling on the big and small screen for decades to come. Over the next decade, Romero, who was reluctant to revisit the creepy world of shambling corpses he'd brought to life, tried other things. But then a chance encounter with a shopping mall and a little help from a fellow horror master changed his mind. The result was Dawn of the Dead, an over-the-top horror comic book for the big screen that remains, for many fans, the greatest zombie film ever made. It's been more than 40 years since Dawn of the Dead first arrived in theaters, and the film remains a wickedly funny piece of horror satire full of exploding heads, mischievous bikers, and one very dangerous helicopter. In celebration of four decades of terror at the mall, here are some facts about the making of Dawn of the Dead. So here's the first one. We can thank the mall and Dario Argento for Dawn of the Dead. Dario Argento, by the way, has a producer credit on the film. And Goblin did the score for it. So when Night of the Living Dead became a massive hit after its release in 1968, Romero began fielding various offers to potentially revisit the world of ghouls that he created. Romero, who'd made a living by making TV commercials in Pittsburgh, and by the way, working on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And one of the fun facts about this is that, in fact, some of the equipment used in the making of Night of the Living Dead was used on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So there's this fantastic connection between one of the goriest movies ever made and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which just makes me happy. Before Night of the Living Dead was made, he was paranoid about the idea of returning to a second film and left it alone for years until an idea unexpectedly came to him. As Romero explained on Anchor Bay's Dawn of the Dead commentary track, the idea for the film initially came to him when he was touring Pennsylvania's Monroeville Mall, which was owned by some friends of his. During the tour, he was shown some crawl space within the mall where various supplies were stored and started thinking that what might happen if people hold up in the mall trying to ride out a zombie apocalypse. The second ingredient that led to Dawn of the Dead was Dario Argento, the acclaimed Italian director best known for Suspiria and Deep Red. Argento offered to help Romero get financing for a Night of the Living Dead sequel and even invited him to Rome to work on the script. They got us a little apartment. I sat in Rome and I banged out the script, Romero said. So that's the origin right there. And we can thank the mall and Dario Argento for that. More facts about Dawn of the Dead coming up here. Let me quickly get Dan in here before the news. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, what's up?
I just want to say I agree with you. Dawn of the Dead is one of my favorite George A. Romero zombie flicks.
Yeah.
Everything I learned about Pennsylvania, I watched from George Romero's zombie movie.
Absolutely.
I think my favorite scene is when the guy got his arm pulled from where he was trying to get his blood pressure.
The blood pressure is classic, yep.
And then Savini with the machete struck a zombie in the head.
In the head. That guy, by the way, the guy who played Machete Zombie, he has been to Flashback Weekend many times. He's a very nice guy. But he's basically known as the guy who got a machete in his head. That's basically what he's known for. So, all right, Dan, thanks, buddy.
Hey, thank you. Have a good night.
Take care. All right. So much stuff to talk about with this movie. It's such a classic. I was very, very, very lucky enough to get to know George Romero. Interviewed him several times, met him a bunch of times. He's been on the show, and he became kind of a friend. And that was one of the highlights of my career and my life, was getting to know George Romero. Pretty special. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up, and more Dawn of the Dead talk. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio. Excuse me. 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. We've got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday all coming up. Vic's Picks, we're going to return next week to conclude the top 100 albums, and he's going to continue doing more music research and listening to music as we go on. So that's all coming up right here on 720 WGN. Tom is out of town. Tom Hush, my regular producer. So Ben is filling in. He will be out of town also on Monday morning. He'll be missing Monday morning as well. And Ben's going to fill in. So we'll have Tom back on Tuesday. He's out of town in Albany, New York at a film festival. So, and hopefully it was safe travels because there was some very crazy weather going on the East Coast. So
he probably had a bumpy flight.
Yeah. Oh God.
He Not says as he bumpy lo- as it could have been.
He says he loves to fly, though. So,
yeah, that's why he and I get along.
I know you love to fly. I can't stand it. I go nuts. I am terrified. But we're here, and it is Halloween time, and we're talking about Dawn of the Dead, one of the greatest movies of all time, and the best zombie movie ever made. And it's been around for 40 years. Came out 40 years ago, which is hard to believe. But we've got some facts from Mental Floss about Dawn of the Dead. If you guys want to jump in here with any zombie stuff or Dawn of the Dead memories or any of that kind of thing, your favorite moments, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. How about this next fact? George A. Romero came up with the most famous line while drinking. The most famous line in Dawn of the Dead, a line so famous that it became the movie's tagline and was later used in Zack Snyder's 2004 remake, belongs to the character of Peter. The line is, "When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth." As catchy and unforgettable as it is, Romero doesn't recall any grand moment of inspiration. He was just drunk one night trying to get the script finished. He said, quote, "I just made that up, truly, on a drunken night when I was really crashing to finish the script, and I thought it was kind of nice. It was something Dario told me," Romero told Rolling Stone in 1978. "My family is Cuban," and Dario said, "Well, we have a Caribbean background. You have a Caribbean background, and that's why you're into the zombie thing. Zombies originated in Haiti." I said, "Well, all right. I just figured there's something a voodoo priest might say. I was just having fun, man." So he was drunk when he wrote that line. Became one of the most famous lines in horror movie history. Yeah. "When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth." All right. I love that line. There are multiple versions of Dawn of the Dead that exist. Yes, there are. There are many different cuts of Dawn of the Dead. And I've got, like, all of them. Argento helped Romero find financing for Dawn of the Dead and served as a script consultant on the film. In exchange, Argento retained the right to recut the film for various foreign markets, while Romero retained final cut for North and South America. As a result, the Italian version of the film was shorter than Romero's U.S. version, as Argento trimmed certain jokes that he felt Italian audiences wouldn't get. This increased the darkness of the film, which led to certain content cuts in other foreign markets. This is why several different cuts of the film wound up existing around the world, including an R-rated re-release that was recut for drive-in theaters in 1982. Yeah, there are for a while, every video company on the planet released a version of Dawn of the Dead. And I've got like the big ultimate crazy box set thing, which has all the cuts of the. It's okay. Got Argento's cut. It's got a couple of other cuts that were shown around the world. It's got the R-rated cut, and of course, it's got George Romero's U.S. cut, which is the quintessential. That's the quintessential version to watch. But yeah, we were just talking about this. The next little fact is that Dawn of the Dead was released unrated in America. Dawn of the Dead was released first in international markets, arriving in Italian theaters in the fall of 78, months before it would land in the United States. In just a few weeks, the film was a commercial success overseas without ever playing to American audiences. So when Romero and company ran into the MPAA demands that they cut the film down to get an X rating, they doubled down and released the film unrated without any cuts to the gore. So, yeah.
Go big or go home.
That's exactly right. And they went big. Yeah. Here are some of the other things. The zombies didn't get a lot of direction. Though he's renowned among horror fans as the man responsible for building zombies into one of the most effective movie monsters, Romero didn't spend much time guiding his undead ghouls. The director felt that if he tried to offer detailed direction in terms of zombie behavior, the zombies would all start acting one way instead of like a group of individuals. So direction was kept to a minimum. He later recalled, you just have to say, be dead. That was his direction.
Genius.
I have a friend from Pittsburgh. He doesn't live in Chicago anymore. He moved away, but he grew up in Pittsburgh. And he vividly remembers when they were filming at Monroeville Mall. And he's got friends who are in it. Like, he could identify zombies. There are certain guys that he knew, certain people that he knew that were zombies. Because they just did, like, a cattle call. People just showed up, and they're like, hey, you want to be a zombie in a movie? And they were actually, filming in Monroeville Mall, which is a real place. And so they would have to shoot, like, when the place was closed. And so they call out for extras to be zombies, and, like, 1,000 people show up, all local. And so as a result, some of the zombies have better makeup than others because there were so many of them that, Savini was like, I can't give everybody very incredible detailed zombie makeup, so you're just going to be like painted green. Some of you are just going to be green because they were background zombies who are just shuffling around. My friend, I watched Dawn of the Dead with him. It's fun to watch Dawn of the Dead with people from Pittsburgh, with anybody from Pittsburgh, because they know the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And the mall has become like a mecca for horror film fans.
Oh, yeah.
And for a while, Monroeville Mall was trying to distance themselves from it. Like, they didn't like the fact that Dawn of the Dead was shot there. They hated the fact that tourists would come in, like, every day and take pictures and walk around. But then finally, they couldn't deny it anymore. They were like, okay, no, we have to embrace this. And so they have, like, zombie pictures on the wall and stuff like that, and they've embraced it. Like, they have a plaque on the wall in certain places. Like, here's where this scene was shot. Here's where the fountain used to be and all that stuff. But for a while, they were really negative on it. They were like, they didn't want to be associated with an exploitation movie that had a lot of gore in it. But then it was like, it got to the point where it's like, look, this movie has become like an American classic, one of the best movies ever made. You should be thrilled to be a part of this movie and not try to distance yourself from it. So then over the years, they did become a lot more friendly. And now, it's a target destination for horror film fans. Go to Monroeville Mall. You got to go. If you go outside of Pittsburgh, you got to go to the Monroeville Mall. So, and yes, the next fact is it was filmed in a working mall. The Monroeville Mall was not a Romero invention. It was real working shopper's paradise owned by friends of his, which meant that it wasn't just going to be shut down for weeks at a time so a zombie crew could come in and wreck it. Though Romero and his wife, Chris, later recalled having to stay out of the mall while the Christmas decorations were up, which is when scenes set elsewhere were shot. Once the crew did get into the mall, they could only shoot at night. To make that easier, the crew replaced many of the lights in the mall with color-corrected lighting so they could essentially shoot wherever they wanted to shoot, wherever they chose. At 7 a.m. each morning, the mall's Muzak would automatically start playing, which meant shooting was done for the day. So that was your cue. And you're making Dawn of the Dead. At 7 a.m., all of a sudden, when the Muzak comes on, you're like, oh, that's it. So, which meant the shooting was done for the day, and then the cast and crew would shamble home for a little rest. The Monroeville Mall, which is located about 10 miles from Pittsburgh, is still in operation today. That's pretty funny. The Muzak was your cue to get out. Many of Dawn of the Dead's gore effects were improvised. Though he would eventually become known as one of the horror's great gore wizards, at the time of Dawn of the Dead, Tom Savini's career as a special effects artist was still quite young. As he recalled later, he was doing a play in North Carolina when Romero called him and said, "We got another gig. Think of ways to kill people." Savini later recalled that he was given a great deal of freedom to play with different ideas for the many, many gore effects in Dawn of the Dead, so much so that many of the most memorable effects were made up on the day of shooting, including the scene in which a zombie takes a screwdriver through the ear and the exploding head during the SWAT raid in the housing project near the beginning of the film. Savini's knack for improvisation also served him well in another capacity. The character of Blades the Biker, which Savini played, was not in the original script. He was added during shooting. George,
oh, really?
Yeah, huh. Savini recalled, George just let us go play.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the scene where the motorcycle gang breaks into the mall is just insane. It's completely insane. And Savini would go on to do legendary gore effects. I think the first one that really went through the roof, I mean, besides Dawn, but the first one that really showcased his knack for gore effects was Friday the 13th, the original Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the axe to the face, the whole Kevin Bacon getting an arrow through the neck from the bottom of the bed.
Yep.
All those gore effects were developed by Savini. And he always said that he didn't like the color of the blood in Dawn of the Dead. It's just too ready. It's too red. And to go along with, like, sort of the green makeup that the zombies are wearing, it looks kind of artificial.
Huh.
So he worked really hard on making the blood look as realistic and blood-like as possible, especially for Friday the 13th. One of my favorite effects that Savini's ever done. I mean, he did the effects for Maniac, which is a completely insane movie. Where, by the way, he made a cast of his own head for that movie, filled it with a bunch of gore and gook and blood and effects and stuff. And then in the middle of what happens in the movie is the maniac jumps on the hood of Tom Savini's car, that the character that Tom Savini is playing, with a double barrel shotgun and blows his head off, like blows it completely off through the windshield of the car. Well, that's how they did it. They put the dummy behind the wheel of the car with Savini's mocked-up head, his artificial head filled with all the goop, and they took a shotgun. Tom Savini jumped on top of the car with a real shotgun in the middle of the night in the Hollywood Hills and blasted the thing apart, and they set up two cameras to make sure they got the coverage. And then they had to get the hell out of there because they didn't have permits or anything, and they're blasting off shotguns. I mean, that's the kind of filmmaking. They shot that movie in 1979, you know? William Lustig directed that film, and it was like, it was guerrilla filmmaking. It was like, we got no permits, we can't be here, we're going to fire off a real shotgun in the middle of the valley, or in the middle of the Hollywood Hills, and they just jumped. They had, like, a very small crew. Savini jumped on the hood of the car, blasted the shotgun, they jumped in their cars, took off, got the hell out of there before the authorities came. But the result is fantastic. Like, if you watch Maniac, the result is great. So, but yeah, Savini is still around. Also another guy who's come to a lot of the conventions and is a really nice guy, and very supportive of makeup effects and arts. He offers classes. He's got a school, Tom Savini School of Makeup. And you know, I know a lot of people who went through that and learned a lot from him. He's very hands on. It's not like he has this little makeup university and doesn't. It's just in his name alone. He's there. He teaches courses and special effects makeup, especially nowadays because everything is CGI now. So all of these practical effects that he did that were real, like, you know, they're kind of by the wayside now because everybody goes CGI. When they want to do any kind of special effects or gore, they go CGI. It just doesn't look as good, though.
Yeah, I like the make it real.
Well, here's the thing. You got a movie like The Thing. Rob Bottin did the special effects for John Carpenter's The Thing. You watch that movie now, those effects completely hold up.
Oh, yeah.
Completely. I personally think the greatest practical special effects ever in motion picture history, is what Rob Bottin did on The Thing. And it holds up today. It's 2019. We've got computers who can do stuff like that in 5 seconds. And this was intensive work that Rob Bottin did, and he had to work with the cinematographer, Dean Cundey. Mm-hmm. And Carpenter, I've interviewed Carpenter. Carpenter said it was a nightmare working because, you know, like, Cundey wanted to light low, and, you know, and Bottin, who was young and crazy, was, like, pissed off because, like, they were messing with the lighting. He wanted to see the effect. So he had to work. Carpenter was like, I went nuts. It drove me crazy. Between Dean Cundey, the photographer, and Rob Bottin, the effects guy, I began drinking.
Oh, man, the pedal scene still freaks me out to this day.
It's everything. The defibrillator scene?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, come on. You know, and that was all practical. That stuff was in the room. I mean, there are no computers at all in that movie. And it's better than half the crap that's out right now.
Yep.
So, anyway, Tom Savini's a big proponent of that kind of stuff. He's trying to keep the old school, you know, actual special effect makeup alive. He's a great guy. And he's also got a great, fantastic role, a cameo in the movie. So, all right, we got more facts about Dawn of the Dead. It's Halloween time. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We will return with more after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here on a Friday morning. All the regular features are coming up after 4 o'clock with You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday. You want to get your funky requests going, it's 312-981-7200. That's also the number to call or to text as we talk about other stuff. Coming up a little bit later on, we are going to talk about some inventions that are completely pointless. Just pointless. Before we do our regular features. And also coming up at 5 o'clock is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. And the news is up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All of that and more. We got a couple of texts that are coming. We're talking about Dawn of the Dead, one of the greatest movies ever made, the greatest zombie movie of all time. And we're talking about some of the facts about the making of Dawn of the Dead. 773 Erico says, the ending song when they escape the zombie mall is one of the funniest shifts in tone I've ever seen. Yeah. Yeah, it's classic. 301 I once got to visit the place where the next film, Day of the Dead, was filmed, a mine that was being used to house a place of business, and it still is. Day of the Dead, great movie. Great movie. That's actually Tom Hush's favorite zombie movie.
Is it?
Is Day. Yeah, he likes Day more than Dawn. I love Day of the Dead, but to me, Dawn of the Dead is the quintessential.
I love it, and you and I have talked about this in the past. My favorite zombie movie is still Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, well, Shaun of the Dead is classic. Yeah. The thing about Shaun of the Dead is that it was made by people who know and love the genre.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really like a big joke. They made a good zombie movie. On top of it being very funny, it's a good zombie movie. So, all right, how about some more of this? There are a lot of cameos in Dawn of the Dead. Like many of Romero's films, Dawn of the Dead's production was based in his native Pittsburgh, which meant that getting people to be in the movie was often as simple as contacting friends and family and inviting them to appear on camera. Romero makes a cameo in the film himself alongside his future wife and producer Chris in the film's opening sequence at the TV station, where the couple is sitting side by side at a control panel. Romero, Savini noted on the commentary track, is also wearing his, quote, lucky scarf. Other cameos scattered throughout the film include Chris Romero's brother Cliff Forrest as the man who leans over a sleeping Francine in the opening shot, and Tom Savini's niece and nephew as two zombie children who burst out of a closet at the landing strip to attack Peter. How about this? The bikers were not actors. As with some of the smaller speaking roles, getting extras to show up in Dawn of the Dead was just a matter of simply asking around Pittsburgh for the right people, and as a result, the National Guardsmen present in the film, as well as some police officers, were real National Guardsmen and real cops. For the legendary sequence in which a biker gang stages a raid on the mall, the production also managed to find real bikers in form of a group called the Pagans, who brought their own motorcycles just for the shoot. He said, I don't remember who contacted them. They just showed up. So they were real bikers, those guys. Let's see. Dawn of the Dead actually featured a much darker ending. During production of Dawn of the Dead, George Romero told Rolling Stone that writer Chet Flippo, that the film had, in Flippo's words, no beginning and two endings. Romero explained that this was because he was working moment to moment on the film. He eventually figured the beginning of the film out, of course, and went with an ending in which Peter and Francine might get their way out of that mall and onto the roof where they escape in the helicopter. So what was the other ending? On some of the commentary tracks, George and Chris Romero and Tom Savini all discuss a much darker concept to close the film in which Peter would have shot himself, which he contemplates doing in the final cut, while Francine would have leapt into the spinning blades of the helicopter, mirroring one of the famous zombie deaths earlier in the film. The ending would have followed in the footsteps of Night of the Living Dead's dark ending, but Romero ultimately decided on something lighter. Still, the original plan didn't go to waste. Savini had already made a cast of actress Galen Ross's head to use for the Francine death scene, so he repurposed it with the help of some makeup and a wig for the famous exploding head during the housing project raid. So there you go, everything you needed to know about Dawn of the Dead. Oh, man. I've not watched Dawn of the Dead this Halloween season yet, so I guess I'll have to bust that one in probably this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it never fails to impress every time I watch it. It's just so good, and those long stretches of silence are some of, I know it's weird to say, but that's some of my favorite stuff in the movie, is all the contemplated stuff where there's like no zombie attacks or anything. Once they get the mall secure, I just love that stuff. I think it's really pointed satire, and just great stuff. I remember when Dawn of the Dead came out, it got, incredible reviews. Dave Kerr, who used to write for the Chicago Reader, said it was the best film of the year. Roger Ebert gave it 4 stars and raved about it, and so did Siskel. It was one of those movies that like captured the imagination of a lot of people, not just horror junkies like me. But yeah, so a great, great, great film. So now we know all about it. All right, we got a break here for the news, and then after the news, we're going to talk about some inventions that are completely pointless. Right here on 720 WGN, leading up to our regular Friday features, which are happening later. All right. Welcome, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the WGN Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features will begin. We're not doing Vic's Picks this week. We're going to save the next one for next week because it's the number one movie, or number one movie, the number one album on the list. And we're going to discuss it when Tom is here, because Tom is not here this morning. He won't be here on Monday morning either, so Ben is filling in. But we're going to do Vic's Picks starting next week at 3:30 to kick off the regular features. But at 4 o'clock, we will get back into our regular features, including You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, and some funky stuff with Fly James Friday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You know, in addition to, like, completely pointless inventions, we can also talk about some of your favorite stupid infomercial products. Ben, have you ever sat up late at night and watched stupid infomercials?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about this on the air before. Esmeralda Leon, who used to do traffic here on the show, was kind of addicted to those things, to those kind of weird infomercial products. And we actually had a regular segment that we used to do called Would Esmeralda Buy That? And so we would go through these weird sort of infomercial-like gadgets and stuff like that. And then 80% of the time, Esmeralda would buy that. She was kind of addicted to those things. But there's some classic ones. Okay, of course, we mentioned, you know, you got to mention the Thighmaster.
Oh, yeah.
You can't go without the Thighmaster, and it was Suzanne Summer. Suzanne Summers was the big, anybody ever buy a Thighmaster? And that's the other thing. Has anybody ever bought some of these worthless things that you just think are some, or that end up, like, just gathering dust? So I just remember about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, outside of my office. Well, I moved, actually switched offices. I'm in a different office now. I'm closer to the studio now. I like my new office. I like it.
I know there were several people here worried that you were no longer working here when they saw stuff in boxes?
Oh, yeah, stuff was in boxes. No, we just switched offices. I switched offices with another person that works here. And, you know, the bosses were like, we just want you to switch offices, no big deal. And I like the new office. It's right by the bathroom. It's right down the hall from here.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. I think it's bigger even than the one that I had on the other side. Yeah. I think it's even bigger. And I decorated it and made it all my own.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just moved in yesterday.
I would, and you know, maybe for the podcast today, maybe we take a picture of you next to your new office.
Oh.
But I wish your listeners, you know, could see like all the cool pictures you have on your door.
Yeah, I have a lot of pictures with me and celebrities from the Flashback Horror Convention. I just stick them up on the door. There's a lot of fun ones
it's
up there.
It's so cool.
Yeah. And I got a bunch of junk in there too, lots of fun stuff that's in there. And surrounding my computer is a picture of me, two pictures of me and my future ex-wife Dana DiLorenzo. That's so I get to look. I get to look at Dana every morning when I come in. But anyway,
wait. Do you have two new future ex-wives now?
Well, Dana DiLorenzo, I have a lot of future ex-wives.
I was going to say, because last time I worked with you, it was Brie Larson.
Yeah, no, there's a lot. I have a lot of future ex-wives.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something.
But the big, you know, future ex-wife is Dana DiLorenzo.
Okay.
It's never going to happen with Brie Larson. It might happen with Dana DiLorenzo. That's the difference.
Okay. So, I just want to make sure I was up to speed.
Yeah. But anyway, when I used to be there in the office that I had for a few years now, that I just moved out of, our good friend Dave Marzullo is in there now. I switched offices with my buddy Dave. So anyway, I'm all settled in now, but I was in that office for a few years, and there's a table right outside the office, like a long conference table right outside that office, where they have like computers. People can come in, sit down at the office, sit down at the table and do some computer work on the computer. So it's just this long table. And sometimes they put, it's become kind of a free table. So like if you're going through, if you've got some books that you're not going to read or anything like that, or some other items, just put it out on the free table. And, you know, we've had a free table in all the places, you know, first floor of the Tribune building, seventh floor of the Tribune building, now here in the 18th floor, 303 Wacker. It's the free table, so people can peruse. Like when I cleaned out my office, I put a bunch of stuff, because I cleaned out my office, I had a whole bunch of books in there that I didn't need, put a bunch of stuff on the free table, all gone.
Oh yeah, I didn't even have a shot.
Yeah, no, all gone. So anyway, I walk out, I'm in my office, I walk out of the office and I look on the free table and there is a distressed shake weight, like a clearly used distressed shake weight. And we all know what the shake weight is. Everybody knows what the shake weight is. It's one of the most infamous infomercials of all time, with the very suggestive way that you use the shake weight. So it's sitting there, and I was a little disturbed, quite frankly, that someone would leave a distressed, used shake weight on the table. It's just sitting there. No note, nothing. There it is. Clearly a used and distressed shake weight sitting on the table right outside of my office. I mentioned it on the air, and people started laughing. And then somebody posted a video. Somebody who works here posted a video of our good friend Ernie.
Oh yeah,
with the shake weight using it.
Yep.
So that's who distressed the shake weight. It's our buddy Ernie. But anyway, that is one of the prototypical infomercial products. Is the stupid shake weight. So 312-981-7200 if you want to talk about that, and some of the other we've got some useless, absolutely pointless products, and some other fascinating and fun infomercial products. How about the Titty Bear? T-I-D-D-Y. Titty Bear.
I'm not familiar with it.
Well, here's how they describe it. There's a picture here that I'm looking at, and I remember this. You're a good law-abiding citizen who wants to make sure you're buckled in at all times, but gosh darn it, those seatbelts are such a nuisance. Well, have no fear. Titty Bear is here. This adorable little bear snaps right onto your seatbelt and provides comfort, plushness, extra padding for women who wear low-cut tops, and yes, it is pronounced Titty Bear. Say it slowly. This is something that you would put over your breast to be comfortable while you are... while you were sitting in a car, and it attaches right to the seatbelt. It is truly one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. Of course, we have the Snuggie. The Snuggie, which is a classic.
Esmeralda had to have gotten that one.
I don't know if she ever had a Snuggie. Now, you remember there was also the Snanket, or the Slanket.
Yes.
Which was like the Slanket, which was like a blanket, mm-hmm. but the Snuggie prevailed. The Snuggie was the one in the war of a towel that you wear with sleeves, that one won. They used to have Snuggie bar crawls. Many years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
Many years ago, we sent our good friend Kristen Decker, the lovely Kristen Decker, who doesn't work here anymore, but she used to love to go on and do taped segments for my show. We sent her on a Snuggie pub crawl, and she interviewed a whole bunch of people, and everybody was walking down. I think it was on Lincoln Avenue, and it was a whole bunch of bars. People were just walking down the street drinking with their Snuggies on.
Huh.
So we mentioned the shake weight already. I wonder whatever happened, and I wonder if Ernie took that thing home.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right. All right, how about this? An avocado saver. You ever use an avocado saver?
Never used one, but I remember it.
Do you eat sandwiches with zombie avocado slices in fear that they will wake up in the middle of the night and eat you back? Well, then make sure that your undead avocados don't try to kill you in your sleep with the avocado saver. Anybody have any of these items? Want to comment on them? 312-981-7200. It's meant to keep your avocados fresh, but there are so many alternatives that you already have in the kitchen. Who wants another device that you have to clean? They're very goofy looking, too, the avocado savers. Has anybody purchased any of these items? How about this one? Infomercial item. Comfort wipe. You familiar with comfort wipe?
Not that one.
All right. Who needs old-fashioned toilet paper when you can add a useless and entirely embarrassing product? Even the tagline encourages not to be embarrassed. To wipe yourself. Featuring an extension arm and holder, this thing is supposed to be, quote, the sanitary solution for using toilet paper without having actually to stuff it in your own hands. And also, you can flounder around while trying to use this giant claw at night. It's this big, long, stupid claw thing. You put toilet paper in it, and then you use that claw instead of your hand. I have to admit, I've never seen that before. I've never seen the comfort wipe before. It looks ridiculous. The comfort wipe. All right. How about this? Air-conditioned shoes by Hydrotech. Air-conditioned shoes provide extra fresh air in your soles. However, it's just a pair of shoes with holes in them. Not only is it not an upgraded shoe, it's an incomplete product that they are passing off as a luxurious item. They claim the product has, quote, a unique filter technology. Yeah, we can put holes in our own shoes and don't have to pay $75 for it. We'll admit, though, that the guy's smile in the photo almost had us sold. His grin is really huge. Air-conditioned shoes. Shoes with holes in them. That's basically what they are. All right, let's see. Here's Paul on WGN. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Nick.
Hey.
One of the dumbest things I've ever heard of was the smokeless ashtray.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was an ashtray that had like a suction on the top of like a fan that would suck the smoke up into it. Yeah, that was a big thing in the 70s. Yeah.
Another thing I bought was the Ronco pasta machine.
Ah.
You put your stuff inside and you turn it on and it would mix it up and then spit it out. I used it once, and it was so hard to clean all the parts that I just never used it again.
I'm always curious about that, like the upkeep of these items. They look so great, you know, especially those Ronco commercials, because they go on for a half an hour. All those infomercials, they go on for, you know, forever. But, yeah, that seems like an issue with a lot of these products. Like, what is the cleaning process like? It's got to be a pain in the neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Paul, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, bye.
All right, man. The smokeless ashtray. Big in the 70s, man. Big in the 70s. I think my parents had one. I think they did. I think it was like, it was one of those 10:30 at night Channel 32 commercials that you would order. Send a Samp self-addressed envelope. So, all right, let's take a break. And we'll come back. Everybody, if you want to call in, it's 312-981-7200. We're talking about useless, absolutely pointless items and some weird infomercial products that we've got more of this to come. to talk about. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are going to begin at 4. We will do Vic's Picks next week, but all the regular Friday features, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, and, of course, Fly Jams Friday will all be happening starting at 4. Right now we are talking about some really completely pointless items and products. And also some famous and ridiculous infomercial products. We've all got sucked in. I think we've all at some point ordered an infomercial product or some weird useless item. And we want to hear from you. Talk or text at 312-981-7200. Here's Mike on WGN. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Morning.
So the caller before me mentioned Ronco.
Yeah.
So my mom... And this is going back to, like, you know, the early 90s, maybe the late 80s.
Yeah.
My mom bought the rotisserie oven.
Okay.
And, I mean, I think she spent at least a couple $100 on it. I mean, it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
And we used it one time before it went in the garbage for two reasons. Number one, like the caller before me said, it was insanely hard to clean.
Yeah.
Like, they do not build the, you know, they show you on the commercial, oh, it's so easy, you just wipe it down, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a load of crap.
Yeah.
And then the second thing was... It came with, like, a cookbook of all these different recipes that you could follow. So my mom bought this roast, and she followed the cookbook that it came with. And, I mean, it was on there for hours, and it was so pink in the middle, we wound up not even being able to eat it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that. So the cookbook that it came with, again, pure crap.
So, yeah. So not good. One not, time. Used just one time.
The garbage.
Man, that's not.
Yeah,
that's,
one time.
That's crazy. Wow. All right. Thank you, Mike.
You bet.
All right, buddy. Take care. Ronco rotisserie. Not a good one. How about the wearable towel? Everybody get a wearable towel? Who has the time for a silly old towel anyway? Such a hassle to wrap around yourself after a shower. The wearable towel is not only functional, it's fashionable. You can wear it in a variety of different ways, from toga to tunic, so that you can get dry without wanting to, cry. And I'm looking at the wearable towel. And yeah... Pretty stupid. 301 area code says, Mr. Microphone. Oh, God, Mr. Microphone. Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later. The Ronco Inside the Egg Scrambler. I remember that. You stick it into the, you stick like the needle into the egg, and you press the button, and it scrambles the egg inside the egg in the shell. Because, you know, it's so difficult to make scrambled eggs. I've always needed a shortcut when I'm making scrambled eggs. If only the egg was already scrambled when I crack it. Make life so much easier. 630 area code says, Nick, I got one, and I know you did too, the pancake flipper. Yes, the pancake flippy. I was drunk one night watching, and that's always when people, you know, do these, you know, purchases. It's like they've had a few cocktails. This was when I was a drinking man, and I was drunk one night. And I'm watching this pancake flippy thing, which was like a small frying pan that had a metal lid that had a hinge on it that you would close, so you wouldn't have to, like, get a spatula to flip the pancakes. You could just flip the whole thing over on the other side. And so you can do that. You can do it with eggs. You can do it with all kinds of stuff. And I'm watching this at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm smashed. And I'm like, I need a pancake flippy bad. I can't. I have an incomplete kitchen without the pancake flippy. So I ordered the damn thing. They sent me two of them. I tried it one time because it said you can do it with eggs. You know, instead of, like, you know, over easy eggs using a spatula, you could just flip this thing over. Well, first of all, it didn't work. There was a gap between the top metal lid handle and the frying pan itself. So I've got the eggs on the stove. I go to flip it over. The eggs just pour out all over the burner. And so it did not work. So, yes, I did buy the pancake flipping. 262 area code says, hey, Nick, how about the crazy invention, the Flowbee? Yeah, that's what it's like you can cut your hair, but it sucks your hair out. My brother and I refused to have used it on us, so my mom would use it on the dog. Well, at least it went to use. Here's Robert on WGN. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that I got from the late 70s. First was the can wrap. Second was a smokeless football. And the third one was the ShamWow.
Wait, what's a smokeless football?
Well, it's like a little mini football, okay? You put your joint in there. Remember, marijuana is going to be legal in 2.5 months.
I know.
This is when you wanted to smoke weed in the car and not have all the smoke.
Oh.
So you actually, it's like a little mini football. I still own it. It's a great.
Oh, okay.
It works really good, too.
Okay, all right.
I can't wait for 2.5 months, trust me.
All right, Robert, thanks, man. These are my listeners, Ben. I don't know. Guy can't wait for 2.5 months till pot's legal.
Oh, man.
And he's got a smokeless football.
You know what I'm surprised we haven't gotten yet?
What is that?
Pocket Fisherman.
Oh, sure. I got that from my dad.
Yeah,
the Pocket Fisherman. I got the Pocket Fisherman from my dad, ordered it from TV, and I got the Buttoneer for my mom.
And
the Buttoneer was like you would just attach buttons to stuff with it. It was like a little handheld thing. You put a button. Because, you know, the epidemic of buttons falling off things is just so insane that you need this device because buttons are flying all over the place. There's nothing. I can't remember how many shirts where every time I put them on, buttons fall off. I don't. But again, I purchased it for my mom, and I'm sure she was really thrilled. I was a kid. You know, I was a little kid. I'm like, hey, happy Mother's Day. Here's a buttoneer. And I'm sure she was like, oh, that's great, Nick. Oh, great. And then when I walked out of the room, she's like, you see what this idiot kid got me? My mom probably used it once. So, because, you know, that epidemic of buttons falling off stuff, man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, all right.
It just doesn't happen anymore.
No. Yeah. No, that was a 70s thing. All right, everybody hang on. We got some texts coming in. We have more ridiculously useless items like the iPotty. We'll tell you all about the iPotty and the shoe umbrella as another item that we really don't need in this world. All right, we'll break. The news is coming up after this. Hi, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, Friday morning.
Yeah!
So that means our regular Friday features shall begin. After 4 o'clock, we got You Big Dummy. That's when we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. We got Straight Out of Context. That's when you, as you always should, listen to this radio station 24-7. Whenever anybody says anything out of context and it sounds a little dirty and it makes you giggle, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And also Nick D Show Spies. That's, again, you listen to this station 24-7. Whenever anybody mentions me, we want to know about it. You become a spy, and you jot down all the information, and you send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And, of course, Fly Jams Friday. Getting funky on a Friday morning. We are talking right now about completely pointless inventions and some stupid infomercial products. How about the Bark-Off? The Bark-Off. In a world of shock collars and products that upset your poor yappy pooch, owners were desperate for a humane and safe product to cut down on their dog's barking. Bark-Off promised just that, with alleged quote-unquote humane ultrasonic waves that only dogs could hear. But it had some weird side effects. The high-pitched whining noise it produced just made dogs and their parents even more anxious and did little to stop any barking whatsoever. Ah, yes. The Bark-Off. All right. Let's see. Here is Tim on WGN. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Hello.
First, I have to give props to your producer for sweet Fox on the Run.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes.
And my two useless products that I'll admit I did own, Sea Monkeys and X-ray glasses.
Ah, so right out of the comic book.
Ordered, yes, sir.
Yeah, right out of the comic. I had the Sea Monkeys, too. Didn't have the X-ray glasses, but I did have the Sea Monkeys.
So disappointed in the X-ray glasses.
Yeah, the X-ray glasses, I think they just put like a feather in the lens or something. Yeah. It's because you're supposed to hold up your hand and see your bones. But they put like a tiny feather in each lens, so it kind of resembled the shadowy of a bone or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Take care, Tim. Yeah, the Sea Monkeys. What a waste of time that was. And the advertisement for the Sea Monkeys, too, like the ad, they're living in this world, they've got clothes on and diamonds, and they're wearing crowns and stuff. And it was just like shrimp. It was like larva. And you put it in there and you'd look at it and it looked like dirt. I think everybody of my age or around my age ordered the Sea Monkeys and were so excited just because of the advertising. Like, oh, it's a whole different world. They'll be riding around and they'll be wearing crowns and pearls and talking and raising their children. No, that's not what it was. So, hey, how about, what's this guy's name? Look up the guy who, the Vince something or other. He was the guy who did the slap chop. Give a look for the slap chop. Vince, he got busted with hookers and drunk and drugs and stuff.
Vince Offer?
Yeah, Vince Offer.
Yep.
Yeah, the slap chop. The slap chop is you take this thing, you put food in it, and then you slap the top of it, and it chops everything up. It's called the slap chop. And at one point during the infomercial, he goes, all right, you're going to try to, how difficult is it to chop up some nuts? All right, with the slap chop, it's real easy. You're going to like my nuts. He actually said that at one point. Oh, you're going to like my nuts.
He would have fit right in on Straight Out of Context.
He was he also had the ShamWow. That was the other big one, which we had a listener call in and say that they ordered the ShamWow. That's Vince Offer, the legendary Vince Offer. Here's David on WGN. Hi, David.
Hey.
Hi.
How about the Burger Stuffer?
The Burger Stuffer.
Yeah, and you have this little thing you push down on it. You get a quarter pound hamburger. You put it in this thing. You press it down. It makes it like a bowl.
Yeah.
And you take another quarter pound of the hamburger, and you roll it out, and you get it nice and flat, and you're supposed to seal it. In that bowl area, you put in all your toppings.
Right, fill it all up, like and then you seal up the burgers together so that there's supposed to be stuff in it.
Right, but the little problem is burgers shrink, pickles don't.
Ah, there you go. And I'm sure, I'm sure that the seal broke on the sides, and it was never as perfect, not nearly as perfect a burger as it was on the TV commercial.
Right, and also my wife, she liked the pizza burger. So he put pizza sauce in there. Need to say the pizza sauce went outside the burger.
Sure.
And the two halves. So I ended up cooking two halves.
Yeah. That's exactly how I thought it would go. So, all right, David, thanks, man. The Burger Stuffer. Here's Harold on WGN. Go ahead, Harold.
Yeah. I called about one of the pickle, but I'm thinking as I'm listening about, remember the Ion bracelet, you know? As I had this cold for like 3 years, and I couldn't get rid of it. And then I got the Ion bracelet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then there's somebody else comes on there, and it's like, I got the Ion bracelet, and I won the lottery.
Yeah.
You know? But I called about this one. It was a cordless glue gun, hot glue gun. And it was on for years. Every time you turn on TV, there's this commercial for this thing for a couple of years. And it was so great, blah, blah. And then they came out with a cordless, whatchamacallit, a soldering iron. And, after it was on for a couple of weeks, I said, I'll get the cordless soldering iron. Yeah, I'll do that. So I called and I bought it. And it came and it was broke. The battery pack wouldn't stay in. So you try to put the battery pack into it and it would just fall because there was a broken piece in there.
Yeah.
I called like the next day. And the number was no longer working. The company disappeared immediately.
Wow. No, that doesn't surprise me. That sounds like a quality product. Sounds like that company's got a lot of longevity. So, all right. Thanks, Harold. 312-981-7200. How about the shoe umbrella? The shoe umbrella helps your feet stay dry from the rain. It also takes waterproofing way too far. The shoes look ridiculous, and they're not worth it. You will get soaked by jokes that will undoubtedly shower you on the street by gawking strangers. So it's essentially like a shoe with like an umbrella cover, so you can walk down the street. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. How about the breast cushion? Ladies, do your breasts fight each other when you're sleeping? Make sure they stay apart with the breast cushion. The maker claims that the cushion helps preserve the spacing between each fun bag. It sounds like an excuse to get money out of dumb people, and if you bought one, maybe it's a display of survival of the fittest at play. All right. How about this? Doc Bottoms ass spray. Smell bad? Didn't have time to shower, wear deodorant, or put fresh socks on this morning? You sicko? No worries. Just spray this on your targeted quote-unquote odor zones. Then it kills bad bacteria and beastly butt odor, as salesman Adam J. calls it. Doc Bottoms ass spray. Very subtle name, too. All right, here's Roger on WGN. Hi, Roger.
You got me with the ass spray.
Oh, yeah. Doc Bottoms ass spray.
Doc Bottoms ass spray. How subtly named.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sorry, you know, get the rim shot ready because the breast cushion, I thought that was my face.
Hold on a minute. Wait. All right, Roger, what do you got?
Okay, this is Roger from Manitoba.
Right.
I used to get KTEL albums, you know, the compilation albums.
Sure.
Well, then, of course, Ron Popeil comes up with the album stacker.
Yeah.
Where you could put your albums in and it would flip them slowly as you would just push the first one and then they would all, but meanwhile, all you did is push one and the rest would all, it would just, the whole thing would fall over onto
if you
the
wanted
floor.
If you wanted to choose an album, you could just hit this thing and they would slowly show you each album that you had.
That's right. And on the commercial, it looked great because it would just flip slowly one and then the other and then the other. But meanwhile, after you did about three, they would all go and boom, they're on the floor.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, Roger. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, Zach, bye.
Up in Manitoba. Yeah, the KTEL album flipper. Featured at the beginning of the movie Detroit Rock City, which, by the way, is a really good movie. It takes place in the 70s, and it's about these guys who go on a road trip, these kids who go on a road trip to see Kiss.
I love that movie.
Oh, so do I. I think it's hilarious. Oh. I think it's hilarious. Edward Furlong. One of my favorite scenes in that movie where I laugh so hard, because I laugh a lot during that movie. Mm-hmm. But first of all, the opening scene where they just show you the 70s stuff, like it had the oil lamp with like the oil that would run down, like it looked like rain.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had the album flipper at the beginning. She had the album flipper at the beginning. But my favorite scene in that movie is when Edward Furlong's trying to earn money so that they can get some scalp Kiss tickets. So he goes to a strip club, and he goes on stage to dance, so he's going to earn money, and then he ends up throwing up all over the strip into beer pitchers and stuff. That scene kills me every single time. Every single time. That's a funny movie. But yeah, the KTEL album flipper featured in that movie, so which is a really underrated movie. I've had the director, Alan Rifkin, on the show before, and I really enjoy that movie. I think it's very funny. All right, let's take a quick break here. I got some weather for you, and we'll come back, and we'll wrap up this whole topic of infomercial products or useless, completely unnecessary items. 312-981-7200 for Talk and Text. 312-981-7200. There's a little Kiss. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How's it going? It's Friday morning. That means all of our regular Friday features will be happening. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. Vic's Picks will return next week at this time. We're here till 5 o'clock. And Bennett is actually filling in for Steve Grzanich this morning on the opening bell, and that's at 5. And the news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We are talking about essentially useless items and some dumb infomercial products, things that we probably have embarrassingly spent money on. And if you would like to join us, it's 312-981-7200. So I've told this story before, but a friend of mine years ago, he came home. He was living with his girlfriend. He was living with his girl, and he came home early from work. He was a waiter. Well, he was an actor, which of course means he's a waiter. So he had got cut early from work and came home and found her in bed with his best friend. So he comes home, he walks in, made no money at work, got cut, and then comes home to see his girlfriend in bed with his best friend. So needless to say, he was not happy about this. And, she ended up moving out, and it all happened very, very quickly. And he was not in a good place for a while. He would call me up and we would go out and drink, and he would get completely annihilated. and went through this, you know, period as one does when they go through a breakup, especially something as shocking and traumatic and awful as that, where, you know, if you are, if you do imbibe, you pretty much get loaded every night, which is what he did. So he would go out and get smashed. I mean, smashed. And then just get home and, like, pass out on the couch. So he did this for a while, because it took a long time for him to get over this, because it's, you know, obviously horrible. So he did this for a while. The pattern was, we would go out drinking. He would drink to the point where he couldn't even, he didn't even know where he was. He would get smashed, and he would go home, and he would wake up on his couch the next day. So this goes on for a while. So one day, he gets ready, and he goes to work. He's getting ready to go to work, and he walks downstairs to the lobby of his apartment building, and there's a box there, which is addressed to him. And he looks at it, and he's like, what is this? And so he, you know, opens up the box. He brings it upstairs to his apartment. He opens up the box, and it's addressed to him, you know, opens it up, looks inside, and it is the complete Girls Gone Wild DVD collection. Every single DVD and subgenre of Girls Gone Wild was in the box. Like, I don't know how, I don't even know how many DVDs were in there. There's got to be 45 DVDs in there. And they were all the editions of Girls Gone Wild, the complete collection. So he's like, what the hell? But apparently, you know, he doesn't remember it, but he ordered it while he was drunk. Like, he was on the couch and annihilated. And he ordered every single, he ordered Girls Gone Wild. Because I can just picture, he's on the couch, he's drunk, he's sad. And Girls Gone Wild comes on. He's like, oh, I need to watch Girls Gone Wild. So he called up and ordered it, didn't remember ordering it. And I have no question in my mind that the person on the other end upsold him because he was drunk. I'm sure he sounded like, I needed to order this. I needed the Girls Gone Wild. And I'm sure the person on the other end went, don't you think you need the entire collection? Yes, yes, I do. Thank you. But that's one of my favorite. Oh, my God, I ordered something on infomercial. Didn't remember it at all. Every single, he had every single DVD of Girls Gone Wild. I mean, I can't even remember how much it cost him. But that's what happens when you're heartbroken drunk. You end up calling up and ordering all the Girls Gone Wild DVDs. All right. Here we got some texts coming in. 219 area code says, the perfect pancake maker. 847 says, Nick, I also had the Ronco oven. The selling point for me was the tagline, set it and forget it. When I received it, one of the first things it said in the instruction was, do not leave unattended. I still think I have it packed away somewhere. Trevor from Antioch says, I've made those joint smoker football things out of a mustard bottle and half a pen. Jeez. there's my audience, everybody. Let's see. 630, you called the sock helper. This means that you're so fat you can't bend over to put your socks on. Then it's time to lose some weight. Well, some people have actual, I will, let's say this, some people have actual pain. Not necessarily too fat, but some people can't bend over. You know, some older folks. 765 says the Shudini. What's the Shudini? The Shudini, is it a magician? Is it a magic shoe?
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
Does it disappear? If you tie up your Shudini, can it break out of it? I don't understand. I don't understand.
It's a telescoping shoehorn.
Okay.
So if you can't bend over,
oh, it's one.
Yeah, you can just do it without leaning over.
Okay. All right. How about this? Toilet golf. Everyone's thinking, why can't I take some shots with my 9-iron when I'm dropping number 2? Well, now you can with toilet golf. So it's like a little green, and you get a little, you get a ball, and you got a little golf club, and you can sit it down on the floor in front of you while you're doing your thing, and you can play a little toilet golf. Ay, ay, ay. How about the walking sleeping bag? That sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
This sleeping bag allows you to walk comfortably while still maintaining inside of the sleeping bag status. The makers probably thought thought it looked silly, so they thought making a person look like a creature from the swamp would be more sensible. The bag would be great for freaking the crap out of people. All right, how about the privacy scarf? Why would you need that much privacy when you're looking at your computer screen or your phone? Unless you found images of OJ's other glove, there's no need to be discreet. Think about this. Won't this thing only bring more attention to you? Wearing the privacy scarf will only make people more curious about what you're reading. This is to keep people away from what you're watching or what you're looking at on your computer. The privacy scarf. How about the hair hat? This is supposed to give men who are balding some extra hair on top. However, this isn't the way to go. The hat is not fooling anyone. Also, what man wants to have hair that looks like carpeting? It seems that being bald is better, you know, because Michael Jordan, Taye Diggs, and Vin Diesel pull it off well. Not wearing the hair hat? How about the wine glass holder necklace? We have one question. Who drinks that much wine and doesn't have a table? It's bad when your product's competition in the market is virtually any flat surface around whatsoever. The wine glass holder necklace also has to make walking more difficult. We're all for booze, but this seems highly impractical. How about the banana slicer?
Oh, I remember that one.
The famed banana slicer is meant to make chopping bananas a breeze, but people typically don't carry any other utensils capable of cutting bananas. And so this is pretty nifty. Rather than using your gun or a rocket launcher to perfectly cut slices of banana, simply use this absolutely unnecessary device. A banana slicer, it's called a knife. That's what they call a banana slicer in my world. So, and then, of course, diet water. Who doesn't want diet water? Because, you know, water is so full of fats and sugars and chemicals. So, all right. Let's take a break here, and when we come back, we got the news, and then after the news, the regular Friday feature start with You Big Dummy.
Here's the dummy. You big dummy. You big dummy. See what you did?
Oh, no, you big dummy.
You dummy!
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN live in the Skyline studio. Here until 5 o'clock, it's time for our regular features on our Friday morning show. And we're starting off with this one. You big dummy. This is where I read real news stories about real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. And then we vote on who is the biggest dummy. Dummy number one, dummy number one. A man who went on a 3-hour burglary spree decided that he wasn't too busy to take a coffee break in the middle of the theft. The man who was burglarizing a series of businesses in Sugar Hill, Georgia in the early hours of September 16th was captured on surveillance video, stealing computer equipment, televisions, sports memorabilia, and food, according to the county police department. Then in the video released by police, the masked man can be seen packing a cart full of stolen items before walking over to a coffee machine several times and attempting to get it work. Fluxum, the man, then continued his theft, returning to the machine and stealing several of the coffee pods after he was unsuccessful in brewing a cup himself. The machine, however, was left behind. Police say that the thief may have also attempted to steal a van from the parking lot as well. The man remains on the run from the authorities.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y, period. Dummy.
Dummy number two, dummy number two. A Florida man. Oh, there's a shocker. Florida. Something dumb happened in Florida? A Florida man who called 911 to report his roommate who allegedly stole his weed. was asked to stop calling, the Pasco County Sheriff's Office said. Video was posted onto the Pasco County's Sheriff's Office Twitter page on Saturday night of a deputy responding to a call about stolen weed. He said that the person called 911 because his roommate stole his weed, specifically $20 worth. The deputy in the video says that he's upset. He's calling 911 and that I've got to give him a card. I got to give him a call or tell him to stop calling. All right. $20 worth of weed.
La-dee-dee, they la-dee-dum is dummy. Just Donna and me. And the dummy makes three.
Have you ever seen him act?
I've been watching him act all his life. Like a dummy.
Dummy number three. Dummy number three. Dummy three. An Edinburgh locksmith were the victims of the perfect irony today when they locked themselves out. Staff at the Timpson shop on the capital's Nicholson Street provided passersby with a bit of a chuckle when they were left stranded on the street. When a picture of the unfortunate drama was shared online, it had the same effect on Facebook users. Stephen Cumming couldn't resist the chance to snap the locksmiths to having their skills put to use by giving them out of a jam for a change. Steve wrote, "You can't make this up. Timmons and Nicholson Streets locked themselves out of their own shop." His post was shared almost 200 times, and the public couldn't help but laugh. We give them the Wii trophy of the blank of the day. Dana Rowley wrote on the website, "It's amazing." Dale McKenzie says, "Brilliant." Jay Salazar says, "Hello, locksmiths. Yes, this is an emergency. I need a locksmith. Yes, use the phone in the right place. I'll see you in a jiffy. Where's the job? Oh, it's in the locksmiths." We were told earlier an Edinburgh restaurant hit back with a pathetic customer who left them a scathing review. Brittiana Spice on Ocean Drive were rated terrible on TripAdvisor. So there you go. And they seem that might be revenge. So locksmith locked out of their own shop. Hey, by the way, wait.
I mean, I didn't know you were interested in gardening.
Why not?
Well, up to now, the only thing you've grown is dumber and dumber. The only reason I call you a dummy is because I call them as I see them.
By the way, Ben, have you watched the show Police Squad Naked Gun is based on?
Yeah.
So you've seen, there's only 6 episodes.
Yep.
And they're all brilliant.
Yeah.
And yet, as funny as the Naked Gun movies are, the TV show was funnier. The those episodes of Police Squad are absolutely brilliant. One of them, Frank Drebin, played by Leslie Nielsen, goes undercover to bust a bunch of burglars as a locksmith. And he opens up like a locksmith shop in the neighborhood because the neighborhood is being harassed by mafia to get money for protection.
Mm-hmm.
So he plays a locksmith. And at one point in the movie, like the mobster guy is in his office, and all of a sudden the door opens up and Leslie Nielsen comes in. And this is one of my favorite lines ever in the history of anything. The guy goes, Leslie Nielsen walks in the door, closes the door behind him and is standing there. And the guy behind the desk goes, "Who are you and how'd you get in here?" And Leslie Nielsen goes, "I'm a locksmith, and I'm a locksmith." Every time I hear the word locksmith, I think of that.
Oh, that's great.
Dummy number four, dummy number four, dummy number four. An Alabama woman, concerned that her methamphetamine may have been tainted with another drug, asked police to test her stash. A request that resulted in her arrest for possession of a controlled substance. Cops report that Jennifer Coyle Hall, 48, called police. But this woman, I'm looking at her mugshot.
It's not pretty.
She looks a lot older than 48.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Good Lord. So she called Wednesday morning seeking assistance. When Limestone County Sheriff's Office deputies subsequently arrived at Hall's residence, a Huntsville suburb called Tony, she presented them with a clear plastic bag she had removed from a baby wipes container. I want this dope tested, she said. She said she was concerned that her speed was somehow tainted. The baggie preferred by Hall contained meth, cops report. As a result, Hall was arrested on felony narcotics possession charge and booked into a county jail. She's being held in lieu of a $2,500 bail. And yes, this is what happens before and before. Test my meth.
My only child is a dummy.
Yeah, I'm worthless, penniless, broke, busted, and
a dummy.
Dummy number five. Dummy number five. Five. Drivers refusing to be delayed by flooded roads find themselves trapped in deep water in need of rescue. Two Mercedes drivers and a man in a van were among those finding themselves stranded after rivers rose due to recent downpours. Just after 11 a.m., a Mercedes driver had to be rescued by firefighters in an inflatable raft from ankle-deep water after driving through the flooded roads. The man, who was trapped inside the vehicle, was taken to dry land by the fire crews, and his vehicle was left in the water. In a statement about the incident, a spokesperson for the Fire and Rescue Service said, "It's simple. Don't drive through floodwater." Another Mercedes died in floodwater around 2 p.m., an onlooker said he was in a 2019 Mercedes and a 4x4 came to help him, but they couldn't drag it out. The driver was dressed in a suit and his trousers were rolled up, and he was trying to figure out how to move. He didn't look thrilled. Later that day, just after 3 p.m., the fire service called out again after a van tried to make it along Middleton Road. The water was too high, and he had to call 999 so firefighters could use their inflatable rescue to rescue him. In response to that one, the fire service tweeted, "Unfortunately, this driver forgot he was in his van and not his boat." he forgot that he was in his van and not his boat. The area's traffic control service put out a warning on tailbacks by the area, saying that this road is currently closed. It's very flooded. Do not use it. Cars are trying to pass on the opposite side, which seems very dangerous. By 5:30, the situation at the outpost got so severe that the road was closed to traffic, leading to bus services being rerouted.
And I can't wait to see you starring in your first movie.
Yeah.
Deep Dummy.
I'm not kidding you. You're a big dummy.
All right. We're going to vote after the break. We've got some weather here, and then I will recap the dummies after the break. Ben will vote, I will vote, and then the first person through at 312-981-7200 will be our listener voter for this week's dummies. Good solid week of dummies right here. 312-981-7200, and we'll get back to it after this break. Here's your forecast today. Sunshine and increase in winds. Afternoon temperatures could reach the low to mid-60s for tomorrow. Sunny with an increase in clouds. Isolated light showers possible in the afternoon. For Sunday, sunny, temperatures staying in the low to mid-60s. Monday, cold front bringing in showers and thunderstorms is possible. And for Tuesday, windy, a little colder. Periods of cloudiness while the temperatures will climb to the low to mid-50s. It's currently 39 degrees at O'Hare. It's 42 at Midway, 45 at the lakefront. All right. We'll take a break here and we'll come back. We'll vote for the dummy of the week and then continue with the Friday features right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on a Friday morning and here till 5 a.m. Bennett is going to be doing the opening bell, which follows this show, and Steve Cochran at 6 on a Friday morning. And Friday, that means it's time for our regular Friday features. By the way, we got some Fly Jam requests that are opened up here. If you want to jump in and get your requests in now for Fly Jams, do it now. Get your requests in, and we'll play them a little bit later. And that is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Get those Fly Jam requests in. We'll play them in a little bit. And we've got Nick D Show Spies coming up. as well as Straight Out of Context. But we have to finish up with You Big Dummy. And I'm going to do the recap here of the dummies of this week. And then after I do the recap, first person through at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 on our line here, will be our third vote for who is the biggest dummy of the week. So let me do a recap for You Big Dummy. Dummy number one, the dummy who took a coffee break during a burglary spree. The dummy who called 911 after his roommate stole $20 worth of weed. The dummy locksmiths who got locked out of their own locksmith shop. The dummy who called the cops to test her meth. And the dummies who got stuck in floodwater, one of which forgot that he was not in his boat. solid week of dumbness. Who do you vote for? 312-981-7200. First person through will be our third vote. Ben, what are you thinking on this?
Oh, I'm all for the roommate stole my weed.
The roommate stole your weed.
Yeah.
Call the cops because the roommate stole his, the key to that, it was $20 worth of weed.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It wasn't like a kilo or anything. It was $20 worth of weed. So, all right. Well, there you go.
Canadian bam bam.
That's what you're voting for. All right. Well, look, I think the guy was working so hard he was getting tired. He needed to get some coffee for the burglary spree. Who could blame the guy? I really love the irony of the locksmiths being locked out of their shop. I did, for some reason, that one just really makes me happy. We've got the idiots who get stuck in floodwater because one, especially the guy who said he forgot he was in his van and not his boat. I don't know how that's possible, but I'm sorry. I got to go with, we're going to need a deciding vote because I got to go with the woman who called the cops to test her meth. That's the one I got to go with. They're both drug involved. So you got to vote. This is the, we have a listener here. You only have two choices because we want to break the tie. It's the dummy who called 911 after his roommate stole his $20 worth of weed and the dummy who called the cops to have her meth tested. Okay, so you got one of those two. Mike, which one are you going to vote for?
I'm going to vote for the guy that called the cops because his roommate stole $20 worth of weed.
Okay, all right. Well, that's the winner this week, the dummy who called 911 because his roommate stole $20 worth of weed. All right. Okay, Mike, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, buddy, take care. So that's the dummy of the week right there. But by the way, the picture of this woman, I have to just say, if you look up this picture online, this woman who brought had the cops look at her to test her meth, it's quite an extraordinary mugshot.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah.
It looks like, you know what it looks like? Looks like somebody who does meth. That's the that's what it looks like. Look at that mugshot and you go, yeah, I think she does meth.
That fits the profile right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I think we scared Curtis here straight.
Well,
took one look at
that's
it.
That's it. No more meth?
Yep.
Okay. Gonna stop taking meth? Is that what happened? We provide a public service with this segment for sure. All right. Well, we've got more of our regular segments to do, and let's get on to it right here. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context, context, context. Context, context.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context, 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 context.
That's right. Straight out of context. One of our beloved regular features here that we do every Friday morning. And this is when you participate by listening to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds a little dirty and it makes you giggle like a 9-year-old, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And we play them back every Friday morning. We didn't run this segment last week because I was out sick. So we should have an okay amount of contexts here. So what do we got?
Oh, we have plenty tonight, Nick.
Let's do it.
All right. So since you were out last week, looks like we're starting it off with you.
Okay.
So John from in L.A. sent this into us.
Now, were you in the wet zone? All right. That was me. It's perfectly innocent. It was me talking about going to a Gwar concert. And if anybody's ever gone to see Gwar,
oh yeah,
they shoot as much liquid onto the audience as possible, unless you are way away from the stage.
I was at a similar show not too recently. ICP was in town. So, yeah, a little bit of that Faygo all
over. Well, you know, it's just, I mean, Guar, and by the way, Guar, I've often said this before, if you've not had a complete life until you've seen Guar at least once.
Oh yeah.
It's a must. It's a I don't care. I don't own any Guar records. I don't know any of their music. I've seen Guar twice. And it's been spectacularly ridiculous. But you know, if you want to stay away from the, you know, simulated bodily fluids that are flying off the stage, they go pretty far. I was in the balcony when I saw them one time at the Vic. I was in the balcony, got splashed up in the balcony. So that's what I was saying. The wet zone was in regard to Guar, a Guar concert. It was perfectly innocent. All right, what do we got next?
All right, Jesse sent in somebody, a guest on the John Williams Show.
It hasn't been touched in a century.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Next, Tanker Bob gave us one from G.
You're getting soft.
Oh, boy. Was she talking to Steve?
I would think so.
Okay.
These are all ones that Tom left for me. So I picked up the ones that came in today, but Tom's got all a bunch of them pre-cut for me.
Okay.
So, all right. By the way, you are in this lineup quite a bit. So
what?
Yeah.
All right.
So here you are again. Kevin from Iowa gave us this one.
Did you do it in this studio? I don't want to know about it if that's the case. I really don't. I was talking about what was happening when I was off. That's all. And they filled in where they worked. Did they work in Studio A or did they work in our Studio D?
Oh, yeah.
So that's it. Okay. Perfectly innocent.
Okay.
All right. Let's do one more here before we break.
All right. Fox Valley Mike sent us a Kim Gordon.
I mean, there's not much you can do with it, but it's cute. That-
oh boy okay
yeah
I guess that's the case sometimes. All right,
solid start.
Hang on, we'll get back to it. Straight Out of Context is happening. We've got Nick D Show Spies, and then get your Fly Jam requests in. We have some open lines here. Get your Fly Jam requests in, text them in, whatever, funky R&B, really cool stuff. 312-981-7200 for your Fly Jam requests. Get them in now. 312-981-7200. We will hit the news right after we break for this. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context, context, context. Context, context.
What's up? Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context, 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 context. There it is. We're back. Friday features continuing. Straight Out of Context. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Bennett is in for Steve this morning on the opening bell, and Steve Cochran starts at 6. It's Friday morning. Fly Jams Friday. We'll commence in a little bit. And we've got Nick D Show Spies coming up. But right now, it's Straight Out of Context. You know what this is. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds a little dirty and it makes you giggle, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay, let's continue, Ben.
All right, this is one of your favorites. Deanna sent us a Lou Manfredini. Oop. And or not.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Is right. Let's try it again. All right, let's try that again.
There we go. The reason that that gets clogged is because it's such a small hole.
See, those were Esmeralda's favorites. Esmeralda was Lou Manfredini was Esmeralda's favorites. My favorites are Dave Ennett.
Yep.
And Orion. Those are whenever Orion or Dave Ennett make it onto Straight Out of Context, it makes me very happy. So. All right, what's next?
All right, well, you can't have Lou Manfredini without Lindsay Smithing.
It's 62 inches long.
What? Wow, you might want to get that checked out.
Yeah, that's, We can thank Brian J. for that one.
Wow, all right, okay. You know, the thing about the, about Lou's show is that it's rife with possibilities. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because just because of the subject matter of that show, it's rife with double entendres and things that people are going to misconstrue. So that's one of the reasons why Lou is, it's so much fun to have Lou on this segment. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. John Williams.
Okay.
If you do come on my deck, I want you to go, wow.
Ah, yes. All right.
All right.
Who sent that in?
That was Brian. Same one who sent us Lindsay.
Okay.
So, all right. And once again, Nick and Tom from Bartlett sent us this one.
All right. Well, you're a big dude. I was just talking about Tom's height. He's a large gentleman, my producer.
Oh.
He's like 6'5", and he weighs like 220, 250.
No.
2-something. That's all.
He is a tall individual.
He is a big dude. That's what I was saying. All right.
All right. Well, he's not here to defend himself, but Mark sent us one of Tom.
All right.
I didn't want to suck up weird balls.
Wait a minute. Oh, I know what we were talking about. I know what we're talking. Let me try and save Tom on this one. I don't know what the drink is called, but people are drinking like drinks with those balls in the bottom. It's like tea.
Oh,
but they have like the, you know what I mean?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Okay,
I don't even know what they're called, but it's like tea. But you've got like these flavor, like fruit flavored balls that are in the bottom, and the straw is big enough for you to suck up the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I just find the drink that it looks weird when I see people with it. I'm like, what are they?
Yeah.
So that's what we were talking about. Weird. It was that.
Okay.
All right.
Here's one of my favorites, and we can thank the Hawk of May for Wendy Snyder.
Okay.
We'll have to get him up once again.
You know, the thing about, you know, as we've said before, Wendy is the queen of Straight Out of Context. I don't think a week goes by, unless she's on vacation, I don't think a week goes by where at least one or two of the clips are courtesy of Wendy Snyder.
Yeah.
She's fantastic. Okay.
Next, Keith sent us one of Ro Khan.
I want to get better balls.
Don't we all?
Yeah. Yeah. Ro tells it like it is.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, there's no way that was not going to end up on this segment.
Yeah.
No way. Okay.
All right. Brian J. sends us another one of Lou Manfredini.
Okay. Listen up, Esmeralda.
Here's a couple things that happens when it comes inside.
Okay. Okay. That was obviously when he was on with Steve, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Dirty Dave sent us one. I'm afraid of this one, but Coach Colleton.
Oh, all right.
We'll definitely share the load.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got that one. Okay.
Yeah. He's a straight shooter too.
Yeah.
So yeah, we like Coach Colleton. All right. All right, Fox Valley Mike sent us a Dan Hampton.
Oh, good.
Yeah, haven't heard one of these in a while.
Let's put the cheese on the cracker here.
What? I love Dan Hampton, man. Let me just say that you got Glenn. Well, no, you got OB,
mm-hmm.
And you got Hamp, mm-hmm. And Kaz. That is one of the most entertaining shows on this radio station.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when the Bears lose.
Oh, man.
It's OB loses his mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's so entertaining. They do such a great job. I'm not even a big football fan, and I love listening to that show.
It's a great show.
It's a great show. Pre-show and post-game. Fantastic. And I don't wish for the Bears to lose, but it's a much more entertaining show when they do.
I love
because they go nuts. They go nuts.
And I get to hear like them ramping up to it.
Yeah. Because
normally I'm here with Karen Conti every Sunday.
Right.
So when it's an earlier game, I'm here.
I love talking with Rick Geezer because Rick produces show. And Rick sits in the conference room with them
mm-hmm.
when they're watching a game. You know, there's food all over the place. It's just these guys eating and going nuts, watching a football game with those guys. I've had the opportunity to watch a little bit of a football game with those guys. Spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Spectacular. Yeah. And then when I come in on Sunday nights, there's always leftover food.
Yeah.
Here's the funny thing. Like they get food from a sponsor or whoever it is, and you know it's they leave the rest of it for like us overnight people. But here's the thing: the one thing that there is an overabundance of when we come in, you know, after the guys are on and they do their show and they leave the leftover food, whatever's left. There's always an overabundance of salad. Yeah. They do not touch the salad. Like
no.
It's like,
oh no.
As you come in on Sunday, there's going to be a lot of salad because those guys just don't eat it.
Yeah.
So, all right, what's next?
All right. Next up, what do you know? Another Nick D.
Okay. It's not hard, man. What was I talking about? I don't even remember what I was talking about there. Okay. Who sent that in?
That was another catch from Kevin from Iowa.
Kevin from Iowa. All right, Kevin, I'd say thanks, but no. Okay.
All right. Then we have Steve Cochran and Adam in Downers Grove sent us this one.
Yeah, the reach around, I think, is too much. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. That might be my favorite one so far this week, I got to say. That's good. Okay.
All right. Jesse sends us, once again, Nick DiGilio.
That's the only thing that makes me sad about this is that it's not going to be longer. I was talking about Primal. This really amazing. Have you seen Primal?
Not yet.
Dude, you got to see Primal.
This
amazing animated five-part series on Adult Swim. One of the best things I've seen. I mean, it's great. But it's only five parts, and that's what I was lamenting. That I wish the series were longer. But it is spectacular animation and great TV. Primal on Adult Swim. Can't recommend it highly enough. Okay.
Okay. I'm kind of excited for this one, just because I haven't had to pull one of these since working with you.
Yeah.
But Tom from Bartlett sent us Lauren Lapka.
Okay.
You grew larger.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Simple.
Real good.
Yeah.
All right. How many more we got?
One more.
One more?
One more.
Okay, that works out perfectly on our timing.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Finish this off. Fox Valley Mike sent us a very, very ramped up Rokan.
Ow. That's my tongue.
What?
Yep.
What the hell is happening on that show?
I don't know, but right before it, Powell said something about being sexy, and then it went straight to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they bring out the Carnival wagon? I mean, that sounds like they were on the wagon early.
Because I had to pull that one. They were talking about different Halloween outfits, costumes.
Yeah.
And talking about trying, I believe, like kissing somebody while having the vampire teeth in.
Oh, why would you do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That just doesn't make any sense. All right.
Yeah.
Well, there's your Straight Out of Context for the week. We'll do it again next week. Keep your ears peeled 24/7. You should always listen to this radio station because it rules. And whenever anybody says something, you can pull out of context, jot it all down, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We're going to break here. I got some weather for you. We'll do some commercials. We will come back, and it'll be time for Nick D Show Spies, and we'll get a little funky here for Fly Jams Friday. 312-981-7200. Here's your forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center for today. Sunshine and an increase in winds. Afternoon temperatures could reach the low to mid-60s. Tomorrow, sunny with an increase in clouds. Isolated light showers possible. For Sunday, sunny. Temperatures will stay in the low to mid-60s. Monday, a cold front will bring some showers and thunderstorms possible. Tuesday, windy, a little colder. Periods of cloudiness. The temperatures will climb to the low to mid-50s. It's currently 39 degrees at O'Hare. It's 42 at Midway, 45 at the lakefront. All right, let's take a break, and we will come back with Nick D Show Spies and Fly Jams Friday, and we'll wrap up the show for this Friday morning.
Spies.
Hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody.
Spies.
Like us.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Skyline Studio here in downtown Chicago on a Friday morning. And we are doing our regular Friday features. Coming up, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And we got some fly jams. We're going to get to a few before we get out of here. But right now we are doing Nick D Show Spies. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody at any time says something about me or mentions me, you jot down the day, the time. You become a spy. We want to know about it. We play them back and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, Ben, what do we got?
All right. So our first one comes from Suzanne in Wheeling, and it's a Mark Carman. Was talking about you while talking about wedding song playlists.
Okay.
312-981-7200. What would you want to hear if you were attending my wedding? I'm open to suggestions here. Dancing in the Dark, Bruce Springsteen, would that be fun? I feel like that would be fun. I Want You to Want Me, Cheap Trick. Would you want to dance to that? Can you imagine? I Want You to Want Me. Feels really... I mean, we got Jesse's Girl, we got Invisible Touch. I feel like Nick DiGiulio would absolutely puke if Invisible Touch played at any wedding.
I would. Not I Want You to Want Me, because Cheap Trick is one of the greatest bands of all time. But yeah, I'd puke. Invisible Touch came on, vomit. All right, Mark Carman knows me. Okay.
All right, next one comes from Lee, and I guess they were talking about you on the Steve Cochran Show.
Okay.
How is everybody? Everybody good? Steve, how are you? Excellent. Mary, how are you?
Steve, Krasanich is ill.
Yeah. Oh, he's out today?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We got a Kleppen today, don't we?
Yes, we have a Kleppen.
All right. A Kleppen means Kleppen. Don Kleppen will be in.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, well, that sickness is going around, you know. Nick DiGiulio had it. Dave Ennett had it.
Yeah, I was sick. I was off a week ago. I was not on. I was at home on my couch drinking gallons of DayQuil. Blowing my nose and sucking on Vicks Sucrets.
Yeah.
So, not good, by the way. And it's still here. It's still in there. But it's a pretty strong virus going around. I just want everybody to know, just take care of yourself. Wash your hands and eat your vitamins.
Yep.
It was brutal, man. It was brutal. Knocked me right on my butt. So, all right. We got any more?
Yeah, we have one more.
Okay.
Mark D. from Aurora sent us one, again, on the Steve Cochran Show. And let me just say, I'm amazed. None of this segment, listening to the whole thing and what I had to pull out, I am amazed none of it ended up on Out of Context.
Okay.
You know what you might want to do when you're in Italy? Pop over to Greece and have the gyros, too, while you're having the ginocchi.
I was going to say, veal parmigiana is good.
Yeah, that's very true. It's
what did you call me?
Ooh.
What?
Racy.
Do you have a favorite pasta?
Bucatini. I like the hole inside of the pasta.
That's from Star Wars.
I love it. Bucatini.
This whole segment is going to end up on Nick's show.
None of it did.
Yeah, none
Well, of in it. This in this case, I mean, for in this segment, it did.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. Hey, before we jump into Fly Jams Friday, hey, Mary? Mary?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Who got kicked off of Dancing with the Fools?
The basketball player.
I can't help you. I don't watch the show.
Oh, gosh darn it.
He's a basketball player? NBA player?
Yeah. Hold on one second.
Okay. I always get a quick update, because Mary watches Dances with the Stars.
Well, yeah, and you weren't here.
I wasn't here last week.
I had my update all prepared.
Oh,
and now
I'm sorry.
Oh, Lamar Odom.
Lamar Odom. Well, then who got kicked off last week, because we missed that last week? You keep a score sheet, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Lamar Odom. Let's see. Mary will. Ray Lewis, because remember he had the foot problem?
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
His foot exploded, almost
his
did.
His foot exploded. That's right. We were talking about that the last time. His foot exploded.
No, it was going to
If he kept up dancing, his foot would just explode.
So there's just three people gone: Mary Wilson, Ray Lewis, and Lamar. And nobody actually got kicked off Monday night, this past Monday. So we missed last Friday, but this past Monday, because it was Disney night, and we have to be nice to people on Disney night.
Oh, okay.
So nobody got kicked off.
All right.
There should be four.
Who are you rooting for?
Oh, man. I don't know. I like Karamo.
I don't know what that means.
No, he's on Queer Eye.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Actually, Kel Mitchell is okay. Really good.
Okay.
I like Kel Mitchell.
All right, cool. All right, thanks for the update, man.
Sure.
All right. You got the...
And by the way, Nick,
yeah.
You can get a flu shot with Doc Most this morning, because I think you need one.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not going to be here.
Well, you can stay late and you need one. Because you are contaminating this whole office.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Grzanich has been missing for a week.
I know. Grzanich told me what he
super
had.
Super sick.
What he had is not what I had.
A little different.
We
stomach stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we discussed it. So I feel like I did not get
Doesn't
Grzanich
matter.
Sick.
It treats all strains of the flu, and I think you need
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for
being your mother
today. Thank you for looking out for me,
sure.
Man. Okay. All right. You want to hit the Fly Jams theme? We'll get a couple of Fly Jams in here before we get out of here.
Yeah, in 1 second here. I'm going to bring up to you, though, that I feel like this whole sickness around the office is all brought on bad luck from Pete McMurray.
Oh.
And I love Pete. Love working with Pete.
Yeah.
But I was in with him last week, and he was talking about getting a flu shot and people that do and don't. And I feel like ever since then, people
yeah.
have been dropping like flies around here.
Yeah. It's been a rough go. That's all I know.
So.
And it's only October. That's all I'm saying. It's only October. And to have, you know, people being so sick and so many of them, it's going to be a rough time. It's going to be rough. Everybody, like I said, wash your hands, take your vitamins, get some sleep.
Yep.
All right.
Here we go.
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
Yeah. All right, time to get funky. We got DJ, what are you, Obi-Wan? DJ Kenobi?
Yeah, DJ Obi-Wan.
Who, DJ Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
All right, we got some requests. Let's get a few in before we get out of here this morning.
All right, the first one comes from Dino, and it's a little Boogie Fever by the
All right.
Silvers.
She's got the Boogie Fever.
Yeah. All right, let's get one more in. I think that was appropriate, that Boogie Fever, I think it's going around, was played after the discussion we just had. Okay,
uh-huh.
We got time for one more.
All right, the 773 area code sent us Once You Get Started by Rufus featuring Chaka Khan.
All right. Go. Now a nominee for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Rufus featuring
uh-huh.
Chaka Khan. All right, Ben, thanks for sitting in. We'll take a break. The opening bell is coming up right here on 720 WGN, and we'll be back on Monday with the Monday Morning Movie Reviews as well. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday morning with the Monday Morning Movie Reviews and much more. My dad will tell a joke, too. Have a great weekend. Stay tuned for the opening bell.